Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Total believer, total believer.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The stock market took a shot to the solar plexus today. The Dow down 504 points, or 4.4%, after Lehman Brothers went under. Big, painful, and scary.
Most of my money in the stock market's in retirement funds, and I'm watching it go down.
Very concerned.
What's going to happen next? It's a real scary situation. We're in uncharted territory.
They are in Spokane, Washington, about as far from Lower Manhattan as you can get, but connected directly to what happens there. CBS's Alexis Christophorus.
We're hearing about AIG. It's looking for a lifeline, possibly a white knight. Also, Washington Mutual could be teetering on bankruptcy. We are hearing, though, that the federal government would move in to help save Washington Mutual, given that it is a commercial bank. If it were to do that, taxpayers could be on the hook for about $24 billion.
The NASDAQ lost 81 points. Oil today was down to $95 and change a barrel. One of the most welcome sights in Texas right now. A utility truck with power line workers aiming to get the electricity flowing again. Because once the power is on, traffic lights work, water pumps can pump, stores can open, people can get their homes up and running, and 2 million homes and businesses are without electricity in Texas. Governor Rick Perry says it's still an emergency.
Search and rescue is not over yet, and I think that's important for us to keep in mind, that even though recovery is ongoing, that there's still an active search and rescue, and that's our number one priority.
Ike's storms moved north and brought flooding rains to Arkansas and Missouri and into Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. Nearly 2 million customers are without power in Ohio. More than 30 people died in and around Baghdad today, the result of car bombings. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says the U.S. combat role in Iraq will shrink in coming months, but moving too fast could backfire, and has in the past. General David Petraeus.
There has been significant progress, but there are still serious challenges. Al-Qaeda remains lethal, dangerous, and barbaric.
Testimonies underway in the O.J. Simpson trial in Las Vegas. Live now, CBS's Steve Futterman.
Hardly the first witness, Bruce Fromong, one of the two sports memorabilia dealers who were confronted by O.J. Simpson. He testified that two members of Simpson's entourage had weapons.
The second gentleman that came through the into the room was carrying a gun.
Simpson is charged with armed robbery and kidnapping. He says he was simply trying to recover items that had been stolen from him. Live at the county courthouse in Las Vegas, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Joe DeSena is from Pittsfield, Vermont, and he plans to take part in the 508-mile bicycle race in California from Santa Clarita to 29 Palms. Now, it would cost a chunk of money to fly these days or to drive 3,000 miles from Vermont to California, so he is pedaling there on his bicycle. Says he'll be in great shape for the race. This is CBS News.
A lot of people walk into Sherwin-Williams and ask me about products that have less impact on the environment. It's nice to know I can help.
At your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store, our exceptional products with a Green Shore seal are not only beautiful, they're low odor and durable too. And now, save $7 a gallon on Harmony and Duration Home. So if you're thinking green, check that. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Medical experts say most people will begin having blood clots or giving the blood clots the attention they deserve as threats to people's health. To their health. Deep vein thrombosis and clots like it kill 100,000 people a year. Dr. Steven Silverstein at Jefferson University says migraine sufferers could be more prone to clots.
If you go on an airplane or something like that, if you have migraine, you should take extra precautions to get up and stretch and massage your legs and not be that sedentary. Or if you're concerned about it, have support stockings or something like that to keep the veins pumping in your leg.
In Deltona, Florida, police have charged a man with aggravated battery on a child. The man says he sure was aggravated. The child was a teenage boy who was caught naked in his daughter's bedroom. And the man admits he gave him a whack on the head with a handy pipe and chased him out into the street, then called the police about it all. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Mercedes-Benz is proud to introduce the new 1.99. But the new 1.99 isn't a new car or SUV, it's an APR rate. Available on select certified pre-owned E-Class vehicles at our certified pre-owned sales event. And certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz vehicles feature an extensive 155-point inspection. So you're getting a certified 1.99% APR and a certified 100% Mercedes-Benz. Our CPO sales event ends September 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2,864 per month for $1,000 finance on 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contracts subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial participating dealers through September 30th, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Lots to talk about, great people to talk with, and you're invited to join in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. In a moment, we'll go to Europe and get an updated report from Adrian Levy on Pakistan and on the liquid bomber plot in London. Also on today's program, Patty Goldberg from Earth Justice checks in on the Endangered Species Act, and we'll ask her about Sarah Palin and the polar bears. Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain, will talk about the liberal media piling on Palin and John McCain's health. Also on today's show, Robert Borisage from the Campaign for America's Future says, hey, can we get back to the issues in this campaign? And lots of time for your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone today. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Adrian Levy has become our go-to guy on issues related to Pakistan, and he is the co-author of a book called Deception, Pakistan, the United States, and the Secret Trade in Nuclear Weapons. Catherine Scott Clark is his co-author. And Adrian joins us from France, where it's very late in the evening. Thanks for staying up for us, Adrian.
Hey, not to worry. Good to be with you again.
Well, it's nice to talk with you. And in a couple of minutes, I want to shift the conversation to the latest from Pakistan, where the U.S. has been conducting more aerial raids and some actual incursions. But first, you're London-based, and I wanted to get your thoughts and some background and context on what I call the liquid bomber plot. It was codenamed Bojinka when it was attempted the first time. And in the summer of 2006, we now know that the Bush administration blew the cover off a long-term investigation that Britain was undertaking. There were more than 25 suspects in London and in cities in Pakistan. And when Tony Blair rebuffed Bush's effort to expose this for political gain here in the United States,
Dick Cheney sent a top dog from the CIA to Pakistan, where suddenly there was an arrest of one of the relatives of these suspects in London. And this led to the word spreading, and there had to be an immediate sweep, and British police rounded up these 25 suspects. And the headline last week in the New York Times read, "No one convicted of plot to bomb transatlantic jets." And I'm one of those angry Americans, Adrian, because every time I get on a plane and they take away my water bottle, I think of how ridiculous this whole case was.
Yeah, I mean, the danger of this is that, I read afterwards some irate comments from different airlines like Virgin Atlantic and a few others, the budget airlines, who were saying, hey, you know, the plot didn't exist and we should all now be allowed to take 2 liters of all-white lemonade with us on the plane. And, of course, that wasn't the case at all. It's that the evidence needed to bring this kind of criminal prosecution that was being really quite, in this case, painstakingly collected by the security services in the UK and operating in the UK and in Asia. This operation was blown out of the water at such an early and premature stage as to make the hurdle to cross for criminal prosecutions almost impossible to reach the bar. And I think, you know, there was almost, for the first time, normally these guys are very quietly spoken in the UK and tight-lipped, there was like universal condemnation, a feeling of being betrayed, really, for political gain by some of their US colleagues. Not really their colleagues within the CIA, but let's say the political masters, in the sense that this order, as we now know, came through Cheney's office and through Bush's office.
Mm-hmm.
And what could have been a significant operation, which would have seized probably most of the network, if not all of it, and its roots in Pakistan, tracing it back to the camps themselves, if not their Al-Qaeda paymasters, instead became a tuppenny operation involving really quite low levels of criminal charges. In fact, there's a retrial now in the UK, but even so, it's unlikely that that retrial will really be able to ratchet down on what we all know was behind this plot, because the evidence has been destroyed, or it's now no longer easy for us to gather that evidence or for the law enforcement agencies to do so. It really was a disaster.
Well, and Adrian, from my perspective here in the States, there was never any evidence, at least that has been shared publicly, that someone was attempting to take liquid explosives onto an airliner here in the United States and conduct that kind of an operation. And while it still remains a possibility, there are a lot of other possibilities that exist for people to wreak havoc and cause mayhem on our travel system, whether it's railroad or airline or ship. But we have, you know, been ratcheted up with the fear-mongering over such a long period of time that I suspect that even with this plot falling apart, that we will never see these regulations relaxed where we can carry a water bottle onto an airplane. And now they're going to start to sell us sodas.
Yeah, sure. I mean, some of this is income generation, and a lot of it is also political, in the sense that, you know, whenever we get near to, midterm or you know, the presidential elections are hotting up, you know, it's good for the Republicans to raise the specter of Al-Qaeda. But actually, in this case, I think there was actually remarkably sort of ingenious and low-level, heavy man-powered operation that was getting near to uncovering very inventive ways for extremists to hit at our airlines. But we will never get to the roots of that, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of those people connected to it, all the main parties in Pakistan have evaporated, and a lot of the evidence is still under lock and key with the UK security services, who are fuming. I think there's going to be a rethinking of cooperation and a re-management. There are different goals with the British security services and with yours in America.
Yeah, indeed.
Ours were looking for a criminal conviction, and yours were being directed towards smashing a cell. And I think that's the difference.
Well, you read my mind from across the Atlantic, because that's exactly where I was going to go, is that there is this very distinct difference that the British use painstaking law enforcement techniques. They monitor people for long periods of time. They wanted to thread the needle and see where it was actually inserted. They wanted to see if there was going to be a call for authorization from a cave in South Waziristan, for example.
You've got it exactly right. You know, I mean, they want to expose the full length of the Pakistan conspiracy, the way it roots into Afghanistan. They want to track those roots down and actually, you know, describe the network. And ultimately, the goal of it all is for it to end up in court, for all parties to end up in court, and for the court process then to be allowed its due procedure, and for convictions, if the evidence is ample, for convictions to be gained. You know, it is not to render these guys to invisible prisons and subject them to a lawless process. You know, it is very much to root it within law and use the painstaking creative methods of security services to do so. And yet this was completely not the objective of the Bush administration, that wanted to score some cheap points in the midterms, and did so by seeing a guy called Rashid Rauf in Pakistan, undoubtedly the Al-Qaeda linchpin for the UK operation, arrested by the ISI clumsily, alerting his colleagues and cohorts in the UK in the process, and seeing all of those man hours blown.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's turn to another area of contrast here, and what you just alluded to is really an extension of the Bush administration's preemptive mantra, and this was something that Sarah Palin didn't know about when they asked her about the Bush doctrine on television the other night. At any rate, you know, Bush and Cheney seem to believe that the projection of security techniques and massive military power can rein in these terrorist cells, and it's simply an ineffective approach to asymmetrical warfare. But they don't get that, and now we're ratcheting up the effort to capture Osama bin Laden. Finally, they want to try to do it before the November elections, again to score political points, not because it's the sensible thing to do in terms of our security and in following the leads of the various attacks like the coal, the embassies, and perhaps 9/11. And so this just brings into sharp relief that Bush and Cheney feel that the projection of American power is sufficient to wipe out terrorism, and I think that's a fundamentally flawed concept.
It's absolutely flawed, and not only is it flawed, it's incredibly dangerous, because what we've got here is a brand new civilian government in Pakistan, 7 months old, which had a lot of foot finding and sorting out to do. A new president placed in power on September the 6th, again, who has to realign all the forces within the coalition and get his feet under the table. And yet in the midst of all of this, so-called, this, bear in mind, is meant to be the goal of the Bush administration since 1999 to foster democracy and the force of democracy in Pakistan, and yet lo and behold, when the first time for 9 years we have a democratically freely elected government coming into the troubled province, coming into the troubled country, we see its sovereignty invaded. You know, and you can see how it looks on the hustings. It sounds great to the Republicans that, you know, there are commandos heli-borne being shipped into Waziristan and appearing to take a Rambo-esque fight to the Taliban. The only problem is that the majority of the 7,000 estimated casualties have in these raids have been women and children. The intelligence base that these raids have been based on has been paper thin, if not ancient, in some cases simply postal addresses for old Taliban safe houses, which have long since been flared and been replaced by village and school communities, which have been destroyed in the raids. And a wave of anti-Americanism is flooding across the country that this moderate new government is finding it increasingly hard to tackle. Now, you know, what do we want to see? Counterinsurgency, bedding down that will work, that will divide the foreign fighters from the Pakistani tribal fighters, that will actually succeed in de-radicalizing society? Or do we just simply want to see a party running electoral campaign from America that ultimately might alienate the U.S. completely from Pakistan, or vice versa?
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Adrian Levy. He is the co-author of a powerful book published earlier this year called Deception, Pakistan, the United States, and the Secret Trade in Nuclear Weapons. It gives great detail on the network of AQ Khan, and I think it's a very valuable contribution to this discussion. We'll continue in just a moment with Adrian Levy, live on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Column Show. My guest is Adrian Levy, a British reporter for The Guardian, who's also co-author of Deception, Pakistan, the U.S., and the Secret Trade in Nuclear Weapons. And Adrian, I wanted to ask you about what you know about President Bush's decision, which he put into, I believe, an intelligence finding in July, authorizing American forces in hot pursuit to cross over from Afghanistan into Pakistan. Now, we've seen at least one of those raids so far, and an email you sent earlier today indicated that U.S. troops were fired upon by Pakistani troops in a recent incursion.
Yeah, I mean, I know quite a lot about this from the Pakistani perspective. I just spent some time with talking with the president and also his inner circle of advisors for a series of pieces we're putting together for The Guardian. I know that on Sunday night, paramilitaries, part of the Pakistan Security Forces, Frontier Corps, who were on the border area in Pakistan territory, saw several Chinooks landing with American markings and saw a large number of U.S. troops get down and make as if they were going to cross into Pakistan territory, heading for a village and a village school. They were given, having radio back this message to the regional commanders, they were told to fire warning shots at the Americans. Which is an incredible turn of events, and of course they did do this, and a security source in Pakistan confirmed this to me today, that shots were fired and the US troops were ordered back into the Chinooks and flew off. Now evidently this was meant to be another raid, similar to the one conducted on September the 3rd when helicopter-borne commandos were dropped into a village in North Waziristan. It is quite an incredible turn of events. That we can see a former ally of the U.S. Actually taking pot shots at U.S. special forces who are without permission coming into sovereign territory. Mm-hmm. Now, what the Pakistan government says, it was never alerted, never told of this finding. It was told that if it did not sort its own house out, America would take draconian action, and those warnings were given in August and again in September. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a new president in power, in office from the 6th of September, a new government that only came in and really effectively operating from March. And to give such a small amount of time, it looks like the timescale is much more suited to the November elections than to actually the rearrangement of the government to fight counterinsurgency. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many months have we seen the U.S. in Afghanistan? I mean, are we going to put the same questions to the U.S. and British forces that mm-hmm. are fighting in Helmand province about quelling an insurgency? These things are going to take a huge amount of international cooperation, money and time. And yet, at this stage, you know, Pakistan is fighting on two fronts. It's fighting to contain anti-Americanism from a moderate government and fighting terrorism within its own country. And I should just add one other thing briefly and very quickly, that after the last incursion on September the 3rd, the response to it was a massive suicide bomb in Peshawar that killed 30 or more people that was let off on the day of the inaugural speech of the new president. So, you know, these actions are creating massive instability in Pakistan. They are not helping the new government, and they will not result in the capture of high-caliber al-Qaeda targets.
One source, Adrian, of the frustration, I think, in Washington, not limited to the White House, is that we have these reports. The New York Times had a lengthy story in the Sunday magazine a week ago that fighters from Pakistan cross over into Afghanistan, conduct little raids or sorties or, you know, some sort of actions, and then they return to Pakistan, and all of this is observed by Pakistani forces. And so at least the propaganda in Washington is that Pakistan is playing a double game.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely right that you know, during the Musharraf period from 1990 to 2007, we saw a massive double game going on with Musharraf manipulating these jihadist factions and enabling them to grow under new names, even when they were banned. Their madrasas trebling in size to more than 13,000, taking valuable U.S. Tax dollars and effectively doing nothing to fight a counterinsurgency and turning a blind eye to these groups who he owed a debt to. And it's absolutely true that the result of that, which is confronting the freely elected government now, is chaos and radicalization, areas that previously never knew it. Mm-hmm. You know, in the ski slopes of the Swat Valley, where you could go trout fishing and hiking, they're now run by Pakistan version of the Taliban. The same in a cosmopolitan city like Peshawar, the gateway to the Khyber Pass. Now, these are massive problems for the Pakistanis. Tomorrow, I should say, the president of Pakistan is meeting with Gordon Brown, the British Prime Minister, putting forward a whole series of complex policies. They want to call together a committee of all the neighboring countries of Pakistan to examine how and what role international bodies can play to de-radicalize these areas. They want to look for a kind of Marshall Plan to reconstruct areas which are tremendously impoverished, to drive a wedge between these foreign fighters and the radicalized elements and the ordinary tribal people who pay no heed to these neo-Talibans. They're looking at a whole series of complex measures, but the trouble is that these are unattractive in the short-term cycle of elections.
Right.
These are hard slogs. These are the real business of government.
Indeed.
And are hard to talk about in headlines and soundbites.
Adrian Levy, I'm out of time.
Tracker to drop guys off a helicopter.
Thank you very much, Adrian. We'll talk again soon. I always learn more when I talk to you. Thank you.
Sure, nice to talk to you.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you. Adrian Levy, his book is called Deception.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We're voting Republican because we don't like shopping at small neighborhood stores.
We don't want the problem of choosing where to shop.
And we just love cheap plastic crap from China.
I'm voting Republican because I don't really want a cure for AIDS or breast cancer. They're just gays and women.
I'm voting Republican because I think new drugs should be made available immediately, whether they've been tested properly or not. If the major pharmaceutical companies' bottom lines are healthy, then I feel healthy too.
Bye-bye, baby. Have a good day.
I'm voting Republican so that my little Caitlin can be in a classroom with at least 30 other children. That way, she can be challenged by fighting for attention.
I'm voting Republican because women just can't be trusted to make decisions about their own bodies. Never, ever, ever.
I'm voting Republican because I've already seen the great outdoors. Continuing our use of fossil fuels freely is far more important than preserving our natural wildlands.
We're voting Republican because we like a conservative majority on the Supreme Court.
We really like knowing that even if we're separate, we'll still be called equal.
I'm voting Republican because I need to be told who I can love.
I told you.
Honey, I need the government to tell me.
I just need them to tell me how I can best show a lifetime commitment.
And Republicans are just the folks to do that, sweetheart.
I'm voting Republican because corporations should not have to pay to clean up environmental damage. The EPA is an outmoded idea. If people want clean water, buy it in a bottle.
I'm voting Republican because I don't want to know if the food I'm eating has been genetically modified or exposed to radiation. I don't want to have to live with that fear, you know? So, if the label says it's food, that's good enough for me.
I'm voting Republican because
I really enjoy being screwed by the utility companies.
We need more minorities in prison.
Because hybrid cars really suck.
I just don't feel I deserve health insurance.
Because Texas needs more billionaires.
I'm voting Republican because sometimes the Constitution is just one big inconvenient headache.
I think the whole world should be run by one big corporation. I think it'd be so much cozier.
Because all other countries are inferior to us.
And we should start as many wars as we need to keep it that way.
So I can stay in Iraq.
So I can go to Iran.
So if you were thinking about voting something besides Republican, don't bother. Stay home. We've got it all taken care of. You'll get exactly what you deserve.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Our discussion this half hour is about the Endangered Species Act, and I'm currently seeking to be covered by the law. After all, in talk radio, libs like me are outnumbered 9-1. I'd call that an endangered species, wouldn't you? Patty Goldman joins me now, Vice President for Litigation at Earth Justice. It's the nonprofit public interest law firm. Their tagline is, because the earth needs a lawyer. And we know that the resource extractors have plenty of lawyers and even think tanks that represent them. And Patty's based in Seattle, works on Earth Justice's managing attorneys to coordinate their legal program. And we're going to focus right now on an effort to further erode the Endangered Species Act. And these efforts have been underway. Richard Pombo was a congressman from California that we helped dispatch in the last election cycle. And he was dedicated to eviscerating the Endangered Species Act. But the effort continues without him. Patty Goldman, welcome to our program today.
Oh, glad to be here.
And give us a quick sketch of where things stand with a debate underway or expected to get underway shortly in the Congress and an extended public comment period on proposed rules by the Bush administration that you say would cripple the Endangered Species Act.
Yes, well, back in the middle of August when most of Congress was gone and people were on vacation, the Bush administration unveiled a new proposal to gut the Endangered Species Act. As you said, Congressman Pombo was trying to do this during his tenure in Congress. He's gone. Congress did not adopt these massive changes, so the Bush administration is trying to sneak them through. And it only allowed 30 days of comment, which is unheard of in this kind of change because it's so draconian. There was a public outcry. Members of Congress wrote letters, and now we understand we have 30 more days. But you can tell what's happening here. There's 4.5 months left in this administration, shrinking to be soon 4 months, and they want to get this through before they leave, doing favors to the folks that they've been beholden to the whole time they've been there.
Have you had a chance to read Thomas Frank's new book called The Wrecking Crew?
Oh, I have not.
Well, it really expounds on exactly what they're up to right now. And that is that starting with the Reagan administration, Republican presidents have been appointing people to cabinet posts and enforcement jobs and policy positions who are actually opposed to the policies they are there to protect, defend, and expand. And this is no exception, where the Bush administration is looking for ways to pander to industry and those who have been the staunch political and supporters and donors for Bush and Cheney. And it's not payback time, it's payoff time.
I feel like I've lived that the last 7.5 years, where the people that are establishing policies affecting most of our environmental resources are people that used to work for the industries that they're regulating.
Mm-hmm. Now, has anybody offered to party with you, buy you some drinks, get you some, I don't want to get too personal with you because I don't know you, but I'm referring to the Department of Interior and the Minerals Management Division, where it's been exposed that they were having more fun than Animal House.
No, we're pretty interested in some of what happened as a result of their parties. Because a lot of the drilling up in the Arctic was rushed through before the polar bear listing was finalized to try to get everything under lease with property rights to be claimed before they had to make sure they would protect the polar bear.
Mm-hmm. So, first of all, let's explain to our listeners where things stand right now, how they can participate in the public comment period, and who you think they should be lobbying to preserve the Endangered Species Act as it is.
Well, let me start with this proposal. Now, I said it would gut the act. You said cripple the act. What it would do is it would take the wildlife experts out of the process. As currently written, probably the most significant mandate in the Endangered Species Act is that the federal government should not pursue actions that will wipe out endangered species. And the way we make sure that that happens is agencies have to consult with the expert fish and wildlife experts in the federal government and ask them what needs to be done to make sure that the highways, the dams, the water projects won't wipe out endangered species. And that makes sense because the highway builders are thinking of building highways, and they don't know that much about the species that are there or what to do to protect them. So they ask the experts who then tell them, oh, you built it in the wrong place. You can't build it there. Or you need to have this mitigation to protect those species. That's what would be eliminated with this proposal. What can folks do about it? We're now in a comment period that's extended for almost a month, and folks should send in comments to the Department of Interior on our website, earthjustice.org. You can find a link to the place to send the comments. And should tell the administration to slow down and that this should not happen, sneaking it through at the 11th hour.
Mm-hmm. Now, Patty Goldman from Earth Justice, why is it that you can't appreciate the beauty of self-regulation? The clean coal burners in our, electrical generating plants have done a great job with that. We're seeing with the meltdown of Lehman Brothers that self-regulation in the banking industry and on Wall Street has been tremendously effective. So why is it that you can't see that getting the biologists out of the way will actually allow people to channel their interspecies protector? And that this could lead to a whole new era of self-regulation.
I think you've just proven my point. I can tell you an example that I lived for several years, which was pesticide regulation. And what we were trying to do was make sure that the EPA, which authorizes pesticide use in this country, would protect endangered species. And we started with salmon and steelhead all up and down the West Coast. Well, when we were winning in court, the Bush administration said, well, let's try self-regulation here. Let's let EPA do it by itself, because after all, EPA does look at some of these studies and impacts. And so they adopted self-regulation. We challenged it in court, and a court threw it out saying, no, under the Endangered Species Act, the wildlife experts have a role to play, and they must sign off on the projects. Well, just the end of July, we saw the first review by the wildlife agencies of three pesticides that are used widely in California and throughout the country, and lo and behold, those experts said they could wipe out salmon and steelhead because they so degrade their habitat, kill the prey that the salmon eat, make the salmon lose their sense of smell and they can't find their way home. They really cause very serious effects. But EPA had signed off on these pesticides by itself, saying there was no problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you what you know about the process that went on in Alaska to bury information from biologists and other wildlife experts who wrote reports that said that the polar bear was endangered and should be listed. And what I learned over the weekend from an in-depth report in the New York Times is that Governor Palin collected the information, sanitized it, deleted all of the negative comments, and then reported to Washington that there was no need to list the polar bear under the Endangered Species Act.
Yes, but when the Fish and Wildlife Service was reviewing the scientific record, in fact, there was plenty of reason, and there's a many hundred-page regulation that documents why the polar bear is at risk. What Governor Palin said that she had either did not exist, which seems to have been the case, was contradicted by the experts, or was not even submitted to the federal government, because when we tried to get it from the federal government, it didn't exist there.
Hmm. Interesting. Was this kind of a he said, she said, pointing fingers in the other direction to just try to distract people until the issue could go away?
No, I think it's a difference between what a politician will say in the media and what the real story is in the scientific record. I mean, if you look at the plight of the polar bear, I don't think anyone really doubts that the polar bear is at risk because of global warming,
mm-hmm.
And because of bioaccumulating toxins in their blubber and all sorts of assaults. What we have is some interests, the oil and gas interests, the Governor Palin, the state of Alaska, who don't want the polar bear listed because of the impacts that may have on oil drilling up in Alaska. And that's what we have. It's not really a dispute over the plight of the polar bear or the science.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Patty Goldman. She's vice president at Earth Justice and in charge of their litigation. If you have a question or comment about these issues, including the Endangered Species Act, give us a call. She's with us till the top of the hour. And lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-38-573-8372, 888-573-8372. Now, Patty, you may have figured out that I'm not to the right of Sean Hannity, but we don't protect anybody on this program. And I'd like your honest assessment of where the Democrats are on this critical issue of the Endangered Species Act, because we're seeing an erosion of their longstanding opposition to offshore drilling. And while those bills may not actually ever go into law, there's going to be a debate about it. And I'm disappointed that the Democrats have bargained with themselves, essentially, and offered to cough up some concessions on offshore drilling. And in today's New York Times, there's a lengthy piece that once again underscores that, drilling in Anwar, drilling off the coasts, can only produce an extra million barrels a day starting in 2025. And, I believe that this is the point where we should be addressing the need to shift away from fossil fuels, including oil. And instead, there is this whole debate underway. And again, returning to my point, what's your take on how firm the Democrats are on critical environmental issues, including the Endangered Species Act?
Well, let me separate the offshore drilling from the Endangered Species Act, because I, too, am disappointed where the country seems to be going on offshore drilling. I think that if we do lift the moratorium and start drilling off of our coast, we will live to regret it. And what we really need is a clean energy future that is developing renewables, giving them the kinds of subsidies that we've long given to fossil fuels and oil. So I definitely share your concerns there. In terms of this attack on the Endangered Species Act, though, we have had a uniformly outraged Congress in terms of the Democrats. The editorials have been overwhelmingly in our favor. We've had over 45 newspapers from places like Idaho, Casper, Wyoming, Anchorage, Alaska even, editorializing in our favor on this attack on the Endangered Species Act. So I'm hoping on this issue the Democrats will take a leadership role, have some of their Republican colleagues join them and block this before the election, before the Congress is over. I would separate those two.
Mm-hmm. And in your estimation, are there 60 votes in the Senate to block watering down the Endangered Species Act?
It may come to the 60 votes. It may come as an attachment to some other bill that may not need that many votes. I'm not sure where we stand. I think it's important if folks want to approach their members of Congress that they approach their members who are on the Appropriations Committee. Senator Feinstein in California would be a good person to notify about your views, since they will be in a position to act on legislation over the next month that then may contain something that would tell the agency what it can do with this provision.
And do you have a sense of where Feinstein stands today?
I don't know that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to take a break and return. She's actually sitting. She broke her ankle. we'll take a break and return with Patty Goldman from Earth Justice. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Lines are open toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting sharp business equipment in your office.
How does
that makes sense.
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, Open Systems Architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Remind you to please drink responsibly.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Patty Goldman with us from Earth Justice. Their website is earthjustice.org. We're talking about the effort by the Bush administration on its way out the door to weaken the Endangered Species Act by essentially making it voluntary, or making enforcement up to the very people who are affected by it, bypassing biologists and other experts. And Patty Goldman, who's driving this? Who do you see as the think tanks or the lobbyists in Washington who are promoting this action by the Bush administration?
I think it's many industries, but in this one in particular, Secretary Kemp Thorne, who is the cabinet-level official who's behind this, was trying to blame global warming and the polar bear. And so he was saying that the global warming will present a greater risk than any that we've ever faced before. So therefore, we have to make it clear that the Endangered Species Act cannot reach global warming. What emerged then was this proposal that goes far beyond global warming, but tries to exempt a vast array of almost any kind of conceivable federal action from the scientific oversight of the wildlife experts. So who would be behind that? I think you could say that it's the oil industry that does not want to have the Endangered Species Act apply to oil drilling up in the Arctic. And I think you could say it's all sorts of culprits that are behind global warming, but also all of the other kinds of threats to species that have been regulated by the Act over time.
I'm sure this is not lost on you, but as you just described that, I'm thinking, how bizarre. Here we have a global situation where the climate is changing, the earth is warming, many species will be endangered, and here are humans who want to essentially take the easy way out and just say, who cares? Mother Earth will take care of it, and I'm not responsible.
Well, and the travesty here is if the federal government were doing its job to deal with global warming, you might not need the Endangered Species Act to come in as the safety net. But we know that EPA, for example, is choosing not to apply the Clean Air Act to global warming. And the Supreme Court told EPA over a year ago that it had the authority and, in fact, the duty to regulate global warming pollution under the Clean Air Act. But since it hasn't, then the Endangered Species Act kicks in to say, wait a minute, what are you doing? Look at the impacts on species like the polar bear from your refusal to do what you are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the more reason we need the Endangered Species Act, is to basically force the government to do its job.
Yeah, I certainly agree. Andy in New York joins us now. Welcome, Andy. You're on the air with our guest, Patty Goldman.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Patty.
Hi.
Hi. I was reading the New York Times, I think it's Sunday's edition, had a big article about Ms. Palin. And in it, it brings up a professor from the University of Alaska named Rick Steiner. I don't know if you're familiar with him. But he tried to find out information about the study the state of Alaska had done on the polar bears. And the Palin administration wanted to charge him $468,784.
Photocopying is much more expensive in Alaska.
True. They must not be able to transport the machines up there or something. And then he did a FOIA request, evidently through the federal government. He got the study, and it totally contradicted what Ms. Palin had said, which there was no ill effects on the polar bears, yet the study from the state scientists said something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So have you heard of that? And how can she get away with those lies like that and try to undo the Endangered Species Act through these totally specious arguments?
Well, I think what you're pointing to is why we are so lucky to have the Freedom of Information Act, because we will have politicians that will not tell the truth and that will spin science and stories to meet their own ends. I think that's what we have going on here. Fortunately, the federal government honored its obligations under the Freedom of Information Act to turn over this study. Now, charging the money, I've never gotten a bill for $468,000, but we have had huge bills, tens of thousands, for information from the government under the Freedom of Information Act, where it forces us to go to court to challenge those fees in order to keep them from doing it the next time.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, that's ridiculous, because you spend money going to court to fight them from charging these fees that deter people from getting information to hold our decision makers accountable.
It's that Kinko's lobby.
Yeah.
It's totally obstructionist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
well,
you know that's the whole reason behind it.
Right. Well, thanks for the great work you do.
Andy, thanks for your call today. Always good to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join us. Any other obstructionist tactics like the photocopying that have been used against Earth Justice as you attempt to discover information for court cases?
Well, we've had some rollbacks of information that's routinely made available to the public. For example, the Toxic Right to Know law requires facilities to report toxic emissions, and this administration raised the threshold of the amount of a toxic that's released before it has to be reported. And what's really sad about that is that's the kind of information that people can learn about, you know, the factory next door, the power plant in their neighborhood or nearby that's affecting their homes and their children. And now that information will not be made routinely available in a form that the public can find out that how their health may be at risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting. Patty, this may go nowhere, but I just have to ask you, in the heels of Hurricane Ike coming ashore in Texas over the weekend, any issues there related to endangered species? I'm just curious if a hurricane like that creates exemptions or other extra legal processes that would allow a developer to come in and, say, rebuild in Galveston and ignore the Endangered Species Act.
Well, the Endangered Species Act does have some procedures for acting in emergencies, and that makes sense if there's some need to do something really quickly, try to make sure that there won't be too much harm and then deal with it later. But I don't think that's what you're talking about. I think what we found, which is much more pernicious, is an attempt to rebuild without environmental safeguards. And we experienced that after Katrina, where many would say the lack of environmental safeguards was a problem and caused some of the damage to be worse. But what Congress did in some maneuvers was try to exempt rebuilding from environmental laws, which seems to be, you know, one of those foolish steps of going down the road to the next time. That's what I would fear, is that we would have exemptions for the rebuilding process that would ignore the consequences of certain types of development.
And, Patty, my final question is, who mo bad for $50? Who mo bad, Gail Norton or Dirk Kempthorne? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
That's tough. I think Gail Norton, she had a lot longer to do a lot more bad things.
Well, I still got the email up here that says Gail Norton will never talk to me again.
What'd you do to her?
I'm proud of that. I asked her tough questions.
Uh-huh.
She didn't want to hear it. Patty, great to spend time with you. Thanks for your work. And I want people to go to earthjustice.org and send messages to Congress not to change the Endangered Species Act.
Thanks, Peter.
Good to talk to you. Coming up next, more on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest-growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Dow drops more than 500 points.
This was Hurricane Ike for Wall Street.
Reassuring words from Washington.
The American people can be very, very confident about their accounts in our banking system.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. At the close on Wall Street, the Dow was 504 points lower, falling below 11,000 to 10,918. It's the biggest one-day point drop since the terrorist attack 7 years ago and the worst percentage loss since July 2002. CBS News economics correspondent Anthony Mason says the market's been deeply shaken by the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy and the distress sale of Merrill Lynch to Bank of America.
You can't necessarily say this is the worst that we've seen, because we've never seen anything like this. This is, you know, a mammoth shakedown in the whole mortgage market, and, you know, the credit markets are reeling as a result. For a prolonged period of time, it's going to continue to be hard to get a loan, because banks are afraid of risk at this point.
And the market's wondering whether AIG will survive. The insurance giant is scrambling to raise cash. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson, who refused to rescue Lehman Brothers with taxpayer money, says the housing market is the key to all this.
Until we stem the housing correction, until the biggest part of that is behind us and we have more stability in housing prices, we're going to continue to have turmoil in the financial markets.
President Bush acknowledges that what he calls the adjustments in the financial markets are painful.
In the long run, I'm confident that our capital markets are flexible and resilient.
$700 billion in stock value evaporated today. That puts a big dent in pension funds and retirement accounts. But CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says people at Lehman Brothers lost everything.
One of the really sad things is that many of the employees at Lehman Brothers have much of their salary and much of their 401k plans wrapped up in the stock price. And shares of Lehman Brothers are now worth pennies, which means these folks, in addition to losing their jobs, now see their nest eggs wiped out.
Now this.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy, photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
I'm in the best shape of my life. I run about four, maybe five
push-ups is all I can do.
But for my age, that's
normal is different for everyone. That's why Aetna offers its members wellness solutions for every stage of their health, from fitness programs to information to help manage an illness.
Aetna can help me feel and
stay healthy.
To learn more, go to Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health information programs provide general health information and are not a substitute for diagnosis or treatment by physician or other healthcare professional.
Here's the silver lining in the financial cloud. The price of crude oil fell below $100 a barrel today and kept going, down $5.50 to $95.71.
We're dropping because it is becoming more clear that the economic slowdown in the U.S. is spreading elsewhere in the world. Not just Europe, but also to some places in Asia as well.
James Burkhardt of Cambridge Energy Research expects weakness in oil prices for some time to come. Ordinarily, Galveston, Texas welcomes visitors, but in the aftermath of Hurricane Ike, Mayor Lyda Ann Thomas says even residents aren't welcome.
There's nothing to come here for right now. Please leave. I'm asking people to leave here.
Galveston was devastated by the storm. At least four of the people who refused to evacuate were killed. 2,000 had to be rescued. In Houston, crews are picking up the debris that litters the streets as utility workers try to restore power.
District Chairman Chris in Chambers County, Texas. It was here about an hour or so east of Houston that Hurricane Ike's eye passed overhead. I've seen cars on top of houses sitting in the middle of streets, and home after home left in piles of debris. One woman who rode out the hurricane in a mobile home told me it was, quote, evil.
Word is oil refineries could be running again as soon as they have electricity. Ohio Governor Ted Strickland knows the feeling.
As of 11:14 a.m., there were approximately 1.92 million customers in Ohio without electricity.
His state's been blasted by the remnants of Ike. Neighboring Kentucky has hundreds of thousands without power. Governor Steve Beshear has called out the National Guard to help. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
A lot of people walk into Sherwin-Williams and ask me about products that have less impact on the environment. It's nice to know I can help.
At your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store, our exceptional products with the Green Shore Seal are not only beautiful, they're low odor and durable too. And now, save $7 a gallon on Harmony and Duration Home. So if you're thinking green, just ask. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/small business.
From the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Later this hour, Robert Borisage will be with us. He's the co-director of the Campaign for America's Future. They host the Take Back America conference every year. And they have a question. The question is, can we please get back to the issues in this presidential campaign? And it's an important point. Especially when you consider what Steve Wynn was telling us. The time is running out. Just about seven more weeks of smears, lies, distortions, and misdirection. We'll be right back. Cliff Schechter joins me again today, as usual. He's the author of The Real McCain, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Why Independents Shouldn't. Cliff, how are you?
Doing well. How about yourself, Peter?
Well, you're lying, because you're there in Columbus, Ohio, and you've had power outages as a result of the tail end of Hurricane Ike.
That is true. So you could say things aren't perfect, but certainly an improvement over yesterday. We lost power here for about 6 hours in my place, but there are people much worse off who I think have lost it for a few days. So.
Well, it was a crisis in Cincinnati yesterday when I called Mom because there were 3 pints of Grater's ice cream melting in the freezer.
That's what I was going to say. You know, if you lose your Grater's or you lose your Skyline, that's the definition of tragedy.
Yeah.
So nothing better mess with those two things around here.
Mm-hmm.
Or OSU. So, but we already had that happen with USC this weekend. So
yeah,
what are
that's
you gonna
right.
Do?
Cliff, where to start? There is so much swirling around the McCain campaign and the overall presidential race this fall. Let me dive in here with this point first about Sarah Palin, and then we'll talk about some of the other issues on the top of the ticket. But it strikes me that one of the messages that they put out there to try to inoculate this candidate from criticism was enunciated by Rudy Giuliani and then the candidate herself on that night in St. Paul. And they both attacked the so-called liberal media. And over the weekend, I took stock of the New York Times. I get it 7 days a week, and they do a decent job, but they're never liberal enough for me, and I take umbrage when people, you know, target them as the so-called liberal media. But they had a lead editorial on Saturday, and their columnists, Frank Rich, Tom Friedman, Bob Herbert, Gail Collins, and Maureen Dowd, all had comments in their columns that were highly critical of Sarah Palin. And then there was the front page story on the Sunday paper that went into great depth and did include some positive comments about Mayor and Governor Palin, but it was riddled with some, you know, very critical information, some of which is new. And my question to you is, while all this is accurate and rational, is it going to be just placed into a big pile somewhere, and Sarah Palin will point at that and say, see the lengths they will go to try to destroy me? This is the politics of personal destruction.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that I think they were planning for that. And look, this ties directly into what conservatives have now done for the better part of, you know, a generation. Which is, they set out in the 60s, you know, through think tanks, media, research organizations, I put that in quotes, by the way, and other methods to try and tar the media as liberal. And the purpose was that if they could get to the media to a point where people couldn't trust them, you know, then they could probably, A, cow the media into not being as critical, which they did, and B, get people to not believe what the media has to say. And if ever there was a campaign that needed that, it's this one, because
yeah.
they obviously made a conscious decision. I mean, this is all part of a greater scheme, I would have to say. They made a conscious decision. They took a look at their candidate, and they took a look at the other side, and took a look at the miserable job they've done over 8 years and pretty much destroying, I don't know, the foundations of almost everything good in this country,
mm-hmm.
And decided that they were simply going to have to pathologically lie, which John McCain has proven he has no problem with, and Sarah Palin has been a quick study, too, although she was doing plenty of it in Alaska. They're liars, just, you know, and this is a great conservative tradition, George Bush and, you know, healthy forests and clear skies and weapons of mass destruction, and of course we can go back even to Reagan and tomato and ketchup being a vegetable. You know, when the facts don't fit, they lie. And so knowing that they're lying, and knowing that when they get to a certain point that the media isn't even cowed any longer, that they're going to point out. And you bring up the New York Times, but I mean the sheer volume of editorials and op-eds from newspapers and magazines across the country.
Mm-hmm.
It was not just the New York Times. There was a lot of publications in places like St. Petersburg and Kansas City and a whole lot of places where they need to win voters.
But does the sheer tonnage of it create this weapon that the right can counterattack with? See?
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That's what I worry about. I think this election, sadly, is going to be a test of, you know, our system was set up. Ironically, these people call themselves conservatives, and they're anything but. Our system was set up to, you know, we have certain laws, rules, regulations, but we also had certain traditions that people for a long time respected. And sure, people falsified certain things in campaigns, but they didn't run their entire campaign, for the most part. There have been exceptions, but certainly presidential campaigns, on outright lies. And this is going to go, this is a test of whether the media, you know, if they can stand up, A, and point out, and B, when they do point out, if that's enough. You know, and I think the crisis of all of this is that if McCain and Palin do win, under the kinds of circumstances we're under right now, because they just basically blatantly lied about who they are, who the other side is, up is down, down is up, the economy is great, we're winning in Iraq, blah, 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 and they get away with it, then who's not going to do the same thing in the future? You know, because the truth is that we've seen most of these people on the right, and there are exceptions, but for, you know, there are some honorable conservatives, believe it or not, here and there. But for the most part, they will be willing to run these kinds of campaigns constantly. And so in the end, it doesn't really matter what you did anymore. You must just make up your entire resume.
Cliff Schechter here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your comments are welcome. Let us know what you think about the media coverage and if it will backfire, if it can be used by the right in defense of Sarah Palin, as they encourage people to ignore the content and just look at the volume of it. 888-5, Peter B. is our number, 888-573-8372. Cliff, on Sunday night, I was doing some blog entries. I'm up again this week at airamerica.com if people want to read my ravings.
Sure they do.
And I had CNN on, and they were doing back-to-back half-hour, 1-hour features on the vice presidential candidates. They led with the lady, and that hour was called Sarah Palin Revealed. The hour that followed was Joe Biden, who is he? Now, just in the construct of that, I had a moment of pause. Now, in the Palin hour, it was...
Can I ask you a question quickly?
Go, yeah.
What'd they do after the first 6 minutes when they were done with Sarah Palin's record? what was the rest of the filler? Was it pictures of her out aerial hunting wolves?
We did see her with a shotgun, but while they referenced the shotgun wedding, they didn't connect the two.
Yeah, perhaps they should have.
So the first 15 minutes or so was a kind of gauzy, cheesy, People Magazine-style bio profile with nary a criticism. The only thing that was in there in the narrative was how Sarah and Todd one day were expected to meet friends at the state fair. They didn't show up because that was the day they went to City Hall to get married. And they did it on such a moment's notice that they had to recruit two witnesses from the old folks' home across from City Hall, and one of them was wheeled in a wheelchair to be a witness to this wedding.
They seemed a little desperate to get married there. Now, I'm not doing the math because I don't really care, but somebody wasn't practicing their own policy of abstinence?
That is the point. And then they discreetly mentioned right after the wedding that 8 months later, Track was born.
Oh, what do you know? It's like magic. Apparently, on multiple cases right now, we know that a policy that Sarah Palin would foist upon the rest of us doesn't even work, hasn't worked on numerous occasions in the Palin family.
Indeed.
Good to know that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Sarah Palin telling my kids what they should do, being that it's worked out so well for her family.
She's a role model.
She really is.
So then, to CNN's credit, they kind of dropped the ET approach and went back to journalism. And they did report on her tenure as mayor of Wasilla. They talked about the criticisms of the way she operated, that she first said that she was fine and then she had to hire a town manager to handle the administrative work for her. They talked about the way she raised taxes and also the way that she left a $15 million debt over the ice rink that she built. The hockey mom had to have an ice rink.
Of course. And of course, she needed an administrator, too. Because obviously, I read something somewhere where she had about, you know, what, 8 or 10 employees, maybe 50. I'm probably under-exaggerating. But in the end, she needed an administrator to actually do everything for her. So I guess she could be the figurehead.
Right.
And it's very important in Wasilla that you have that.
Right. So anyway, I do think that CNN did something interesting there, because I think that they tried to get past this bubble that was created at the convention by pandering to her supporters in the first segment, and then kind of, you know, moving into a more balanced and critical approach after that. So I just wanted to mention it because it was an interesting way of covering Palin, of getting the critical comments out there, but it didn't come off as anti-Palin as some of the other coverage that I think will be characterized that way by her supporters.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm glad they did that. And I mean, I think that's part of in the end, that seems to be part of a pattern going on now, where the media, I think, is stepping in, and as we just brought up in numerous editorials, but also on cable television, and they are actually using the L word and saying, look, John McCain and Sarah Palin are simply lying, mm-hmm. which they are, and they are covering them. And that's why I think, in a way, this is a test case. It worries me that, you know, we'll have to see if what the media is saying, and then it can break through the noise of all the garbage that the McCain campaign and the RNC and other independent billionaires sitting around bored with nothing better to do with their money but then smear people. That's going to be tested, because it looks like the media is starting to really do their job, which is great. But you just have to wonder, because they've obviously proven she went back to Alaska, stopped using the Bridge to Nowhere line, you know, because everybody up there knows it's an out-and-out lie.
Right.
And then she came back down here to my part of the country, started traveling around the Midwest again, other places, and using that lie again.
Yeah. Well, she also claims she's been to Iraq, but in fact she just went to Kuwait and maybe touched a toe over the border, but she's never been to Baghdad.
No, she also claims Ireland, and it turns out that she was on a plane that refueled in Shannon Airport. So if you want to consider diplomacy, haggling over those no-tax items in the airport, she's a hell of a diplomat.
Look at that
perfume surely knocked the 15 cents off of that thing.
Look at my duty-free collection. We're going to take a break and return with Cliff Schechter. Pick up The Real McCain. It's a great book, and it'll tell you the truth about the Republican candidate. We'll go to the phones in the next segment, so get on the line, 888-5-PETER-B, The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last. Right here on KRXA 540.
What you know when I've come to...
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
traffic report on KRX 8540. We have a number of problems to report at this time. At Highway 17 and Foothill Road in Monterey, we have a collision reported, no injuries. At Castroville Boulevard at North County High School, also in Monterey, we have a collision, no reported injuries. In Santa Cruz County, southbound Highway 17 at Mount Hermon Road, we have a collision, no details. And also still on the board from a couple of hours ago at San Andreas Road and Byers Lane in Santa Cruz, we have a collision, no injuries to report at this time. Finally, there's a traffic hazard at Highway 101 southbound just below the Bradley Rest area in King City. Be on the lookout for that. Enjoy your day and drive carefully. That will, we will now return to the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA 5.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain. We're taking your calls at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And the mud is flying in all directions. I just want to acknowledge what's out there without trying to promote this stuff or, you know, tell you that I think it's all true. Over the weekend, a video surfaced, a YouTube confession from an African-American guy named Kevin from Los Angeles who wants to be a rapper and claims that he is the father of Bristol Palin's baby. Have no idea where he came from, who put him up to it, but the video exists. Also, Vanity Fair published on their website on September 5th a timeline that compares if Trigg, the youngest Palin child, was actually conceived and delivered by the mother or by Bristol. And again, I don't really want to trade on this stuff, but I just want you to know that it's out there. Use your internet skills if you want to find that stuff. But Cliff Schechter, a more reliable source, is Andrew Sullivan from The Atlantic. He has been raging against the Bush administration, and now he's off on the McCain campaign. He writes in part...
I think that's because they're just about the same thing at this point in time.
Well, that's a good point.
It doesn't take a lot to switch over, you know.
He wrote, whatever the power of the religious fundamentalist movement that is now the GOP in simply denying reality, reality wins. And the fact that John McCain is now a serial and shameless liar will also sink in. The question before us is not whether this will be one day understood to be true. The question is whether it will be flushed out in time. And I think he makes a good point there, because will this bubble of deception hold until November 4th?
Yeah, I mean, and that is the real question. Because I think that John McCain, interestingly enough, ironically enough, whatever you'd like to put it, spent the better part of a decade creating this absolutely false image of himself as a maverick and a straight talker and, you know, all the other cliches, in which I point out again and again in my book, they've never been true. He may have gotten worse as time's gone on, but he's been in bed with lobbyists throughout his entire career. He's lied, he's changed positions when he's needed to. He did that in the 90s, he's done it now. He's gone after people personally and tried to get them fired and destroy their careers. And so he's been the same guy. I think he's gotten a little bit, certainly gotten worse in more recent years, and he's gotten more desperate as his presidential dream has seemed like it was fading away.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the real question is, will people figure out in time? History will look back at him as it will look back at Bush, as a shameful liar and panderer, and a failure, quite frankly, because if he does get elected, God help us all.
And even Karl Rove, now on Rupert Murdoch's payroll, admitted that some of these claims don't meet the 100% truth test. That was an interesting way of backing into it. And that produced this email, maybe you got one, from David Plouffe at the Obama campaign. Even Karl Rove had to admit that the McCain campaign's lies and negative attacks have gone too far. Now, here's an email from John, who's a regular listener, and he said, he wrote back to David Plouffe and copied me. He said, are you actually using Karl Rove as some standard or measure of decency? Karl Rove is a crook. He's actually a criminal who has not yet been charged, tried, and thrown in prison. Right now he belongs in jail. Every time Karl Rove says something, our response, if at all, should be, Karl Rove is a crook.
Well, I agree with that. Virtually everything in there. And if our system of justice does work, Karl Rove will be in jail at some point in the near future. However, I would say it is important to note that on Fox News, Karl Rove was calling John McCain a liar. I mean, that's kind of like Rush Limbaugh calling you a drug addict, right? I mean, come on. You know, when you get to that point of lying that even Karl Rove is calling you out.
Yeah.
By the way, another Fox host, I think her name is Megyn Kelly, also beat up on the guy that's always getting beaten up, who deserves it, by the way, McCain's spokesman Tucker Bounds, who's lying, has no bounds, quite frankly. He sits there and he tries to peddle this BS, and he keeps getting beaten up on it. And she did it the same thing. So, he, you know, Fox is sitting there. Karl Rove is sitting there. You know, what level does McCain need to reach? Soon Satan himself will come forth and call John McCain a liar.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get a quick comment from Aldous in Madison. Aldous, go ahead. Aldous, are you there?
Worried about the media coverage right at this moment, because what's happened is, first they were all, you know, happy that there was this shiny new novel thing called Sarah Palin out there, and then they got a good look at her, recoiled, and said, oh my God. So basically, what's going on, as far as I can see, is that they've actually finally started to dig in, and because they need a story, they've got 24 hours to fill, and boy, do they have a story. I mean, my soon-to-be father-in-law was a staunch McCain supporter a couple months back, and now is completely despondent.
All right, Aldous, thank you very much. And I'm waiting for Sean Hannity's hard-hitting interview. That's going to be a big one. Thank you, Cliff.
Kick her butt, let me tell you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Wall Street wets its pants. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Lehman Brothers bankrupt. Merrill Lynch, the bull, looking like a deer in the headlights, bought for half price by the Bank of America. Wow. But the untold story is that not all of the investments made by teetering firms like Lehman and Merrill were bad investments. Some of them were good investments. It's like you suddenly have a big medical bill, and the only way you can raise money is to sell your house, like, tomorrow. Your house was a great investment, but not if you have to sell it tomorrow, because to sell it tomorrow, you're going to have to cut the price in half. And so, Merrill Lynch went for half price, and as for Lehman, well, somebody who invested $1,000 in Lehman Brothers at the start of the year had about 56 bucks by Friday. If that scares you, you should be in a nice, boring savings account. Let's face it, today's stock market is no place for nervous people. And this is how Wall Street kicks them out. This is capitalism. It's the system we love, given to us directly from God. But it comes with rules. And on Wall Street, as well as in life, the trick is to never be in a position where you have to sell your company or your house or your stock on somebody else's timetable. At least the consensus seems to be that with the federal government finally yanking up the ladder, this is the bottom. Unless it turns out to be a deeper bottom. Both presidential candidates, of course, superheroes that they are, promise to rescue us from this instability. But the lesson is an old one. Don't put all your eggs in one omelet so that if you burn it, you still have some left for pancakes. Now, if you screw up the pancakes, you have no business cooking breakfast. Now this. Get him!
Party life sure can give you red eyes. Too much chlorine, too much sun.
Hi, Ben.
Too much eye strain. When I get my groove thing on, I get clear eyes, maximum redness relief. Maximum redness relief without a prescription. If you're a party animal like me, get clear eyes, maximum redness relief. Want clear eyes? Get clear eyes. Wow. Use as directed.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibrations Radio is moving from Sundays to Saturdays on September 13th.
From 7 to 9 p.m.
You'll have more everyday alchemy.
Change your vibrations and change your life.
Good Vibrations, Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Good, good, good.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And I am well aware that Rush Limbaugh uses this music frequently on his program. But like this political campaign and his efforts to provide daily distractions, and after all, Rushbo was the one who actually vetted Sarah Palin for the McCain campaign, I say we got to take back this pretender song as we take back America.
To Ohio, but my city was gone. There was no train station.
Robert Borisage returns to our program today. He is co-founder, co-director of the Institute for America's Future, and they present the annual Take Back America conference. He confided in us in Denver just a couple of weeks back that if Obama wins, they will change the name from Take Back America to what, Bob?
Move America Forward, I
Move
think.
America Forward. How are you today?
I'm good.
How are you surviving all of this BS that is being propelled into our atmosphere, onto our televisions, and staining our newspapers on a daily basis?
Well, we're pretty angry about it, actually. You know, we are about to launch an ad campaign in the New York Times where we're doing a series of op-eds on the opinion page calling for a debate worthy of a great nation in trouble. And the reason for this is simply, you know, we're about to watch this debate slip into lipsticks on pigs and whether Obama will give condoms to pre-K and just silliness while the country's facing, you know, fundamental challenges that simply can't be avoided and that ought to be at the center of this political debate. And so it's time for the media to shake itself out of this kind of gotcha politics and horse race reporting, and it's time for the candidates to step up and start to deal with the real crisis the country faces.
Now, are you trying to turn this into some kind of wonk fest, you know, that makes our head hurts and, you know, like we're going to be tested at the end of it?
Well, I think politics ought to be fun. I don't have any problem with people taking their shot at anything else. But when the debate starts to simply be about a road to nowhere and the big things the country faces are simply being ignored, then a bunch of us have got to get together and call the thing back to account. We have a real stake in what are the choices the next president's going to make in these kind of fundamental challenges. And we haven't seen anything like the trouble this country's in now. You know, this isn't like 2000 when we were riding peace and prosperity and you could have a campaign about tiddlywinks and personalities. This is about a country that's in real trouble.
But you're going to buy ads in the liberal New York Times that is widely derided by the far right in this country and just add fuel to the fire, isn't it?
Well, the Times reaches people across the country, and it is, in a sense, still the paper of record. It's the closest thing we have to in this country. We're also going to send this across the web, so we're going to try to create a conversation on the web. We're going to encourage people to come to our website, be part of a petition that goes to the moderators of the debates, asking them not to waste a lot of time on the gotcha and garbage and spend their time on the problems the country's facing.
Well, I think that's very valuable. And I was being tongue-in-cheek a moment ago, and I think you understood that, but what about the Wall Street Journal? Wouldn't you actually reach more conservatives who are predisposed to buy into the myths of the McCain campaign if you were to at least place some of the messages there?
Well, that might be true, and maybe if we can raise some more resources, we will extend this. I'd really like to, for example, do not just the Wall Street Journal, but I'd like to do kind of a much more serious job of web-based advertising and reflect the new audiences that are coming to a different media.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that, we've got to we're funding this out of our general support, and we've got to really raise some more dough.
All right. How can people help? I have some very wealthy listeners on 17 Mile Drive in Pebble Beach.
There you go. They can go to our website at ourfuture.org, ourfuture.org, and there's a place there to contribute to the campaign if they want. And those people who don't have resources should go and get into the petition and join the discussion about trying to drive this thing, this campaign, so that we have the discussion we need for the country.
And Bob, I think what you're driving at here is really important, because the tenor, tone, and actual content of our campaigns has been so cheapened in the recent cycles that, you know, we do end up with a kind of neener-neener approach, and both sides can point at the other and say, well, they're doing it. And yet I have seen the Obama campaign try to rise above some of this petty name-calling and jab trading, and yet it strikes me, you know, at least the political cynic in me, that this may come up short. My case in point was Obama's remark toward the end of last week, when supporters were saying, you've got to be more aggressive in taking on McCain. And he said, well, they're lying about us, but I'm not going to just start telling a bunch of lies about John McCain. Now, I don't want Obama to tell lies about McCain, but the comment he made is quite telling. Because the other side is ruthless and relentless, will say anything, it doesn't have to be connected to the truth, and trying to defend against that with a media that operates in stenographic neutral is very difficult.
Yeah, there's no question. And there's sort of a Gresham's Law to it, you know, where the bad ads and the bad political tactics drive out the good, so that you're forced to respond, as Obama's getting a lot of pressure to respond. And when you do, and you're down in the pit wrestling, what gets lost is a real discussion that allows Americans to see the actual difference in direction and philosophy and where you'd take the country. And, you know, that certainly is what's likely to happen in this campaign. You know, it's gone down and dirty. It's started to get trivial. Sarah Palin has sort of served as sort of a red flag in it all, and both because she was unknown and because she was so provocative and defensive, and because she's been telling so many things that have turned out to be not true. So you start focusing on all that, and meanwhile, we have the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. We have an America that is now really dependent on the kindness of strangers for our economy. We have climate change that's going, can't be ignored anymore. We have a healthcare system that's broken, and that's saying nothing about Iraq and Afghanistan and what we're doing in the world. You know, we've got real problems that have to be addressed, that the next president will address, not just wonked them. This stuff's going to be on his desk when he gets to the Oval Office. And we better, if we're going to elect somebody, take a good look at what their attitudes are about those problems before we cast our vote.
We're talking about changing the tone of this political campaign, and I welcome your comments. I welcome your suggestions. Any ideas you have about this radio program, about the campaigns in general, I welcome your comments at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And, Bob, I have to say that it's sometimes difficult to resist the temptation or inclination to get down and fight at their level, and to just hurl whatever is available. There is a lot of mud out there. I was referring a few minutes ago to some of the stuff that's on the internet that I don't think has been vetted, that is, you know, critical or embarrassing to McCain and Palin. And so how do we operate in this environment without getting all that mud and excrement all over ourselves?
Well, to some extent, you got to report. I understand the problems the media has. You have to report the stuff that's the mud and the garbage is much more exciting and sexy and draws a bigger audience than the regular stuff. But there has to be some basic standard of responsibility. We've got, you know, as I said, we've got big questions we've got to face. At some level, the media's responsibility is to make certain that those are covered and the differences are covered, and the candidates' responsibility if there's anything left besides the responsibility of winning at all costs at this point, is to share with Americans, to enlighten us about the mandate they want to deal with the problems the country has. I mean, the problem with a campaign that's simply based on mud and positioning, as George Bush demonstrated in 2004 in his reelection campaign when they went after John Kerry with Swift Boat and all the other stuff and the mock macho politics of national security of the war president, is you then get elected and you have a mandate to do nothing. And George Bush essentially ended up doing nothing except continuing the war and taking us down the wrong direction for 4 years. Well, we can't afford that another time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to demand of our politics and of ourselves a better debate.
Mm-hmm. Now, if people go to ourfuture.org, I just pulled up the page here, right at the top, demand a debate worthy of our great nation. Now, are you providing a way for listeners and readers of your website and the ads that you run in the New York Times to actually submit questions that they would like to see covered?
Yes, that's in the if you go to the there'll be a petition up tomorrow as the ad runs to join and with comments invited. We'd love to have people submit questions that they think are fundamental that we ought to be addressing in this campaign, and we'll help give them a bigger audience.
Mm-hmm. Because I think that's really valuable, to give these news anchors who will be choosing the questions a point of reference, because I'm sure you shared the frustration that I and many others felt during the primary debates, as week after week, no mention was made of the torture policies. No mention was made of the eavesdropping on American citizens and the battle over our Fourth Amendment rights. There was some talk about Iraq. I thought the discussion about Afghanistan was very sketchy and didn't really provide an opportunity for the candidates to describe what I think are the considerable risks of putting more troops in Afghanistan. And you can go down the list. And in particular, that ABC debate in Pennsylvania just kind of pushed me over the edge. And to some extent, Charlie Gibson redeemed himself with the Sarah Palin interviews last week. But the questions that they chose were really irrelevant and insulting to me. I don't want to hear this BS about Bill Ayers and you know, trying to tie Obama to a guy who he was on a board with 10 years ago, who held a fundraiser for him once, and who was an anti-war activist who did probably cross the line into violent acts back in the 1960s. But here we have a candidate for president who has been actively supporting an independence group in Alaska that I didn't even know existed. And I think, you know, that's worth discussing. But the Bill Ayers thing is a guilt by association, and the shelf life on that one has expired.
Well, I actually disagree with you on the Palin thing. You know, that's her husband belonging to a goofball operation. I don't think that that's the question that's facing the country. And I think that's an example of, again, a diversion, as is the Bill Ayers thing. We want to focus on, you know, look, we had 7 years where this economy was growing, where profits were up, where productivity was up, and wages were stagnant or declining. And needless to say, costs went through the roof. So 7 years of a growing economy before we went into this current crash that's going to get a lot worse, and it didn't work for most Americans. Now, that's something that's fundamentally wrong. We need to pose to these candidates, okay, it doesn't work. What would you do to change what we've done over the last 7 years when it was supposed to be a successful operation to make it work for most Americans?
Mm-hmm.
You know, John McCain said today that the fundamentals of the economy are strong. Well, we need to have that exposed to people so that people can see the difference between these two candidates about this kind of fundamental question. And, yeah, it's, you know, it's wonkish, perhaps. It's a little boring, et cetera. It's not, and I don't think it's as sexy as the hunk that Sarah Palin's married to, but it is what is going to determine what happens to our country over the next period of time.
Well, I think you're right. You've got the right priorities there, and I'll accept your comment there. I think you are correct. We're going to take a break and return. Bob Borisage, our guest. Go to the website ourfuture.org, and you can see the ads that will start tomorrow in the New York Times, and you can also participate in their efforts to get the networks to give us debates that are worthy sympathy of a nation in trouble. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to lend us your comment, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Traffic report this afternoon. We've got a traffic hazard just reported on Highway 1 southbound, just north of eastbound Highway 68 in Monterey County. Be slow there. There is a tire in the road, lane 2. In Santa Cruz County at Summit Road and SoCal San Jose Road, we have an ambulance responding, California Highway Patrol on the scene there. In King City on Highway 17, just south of Clark Road, we've got a big rig slowing down traffic in both directions with a fire hazard as well. And in Monterey County, Castroville Boulevard at North County High School, we've got a traffic collision and California Highway Patrolman on the scene. Have a great afternoon and keep listening to KRXA 540 and the Peter B. Collins Show on right after this.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
It started with sightings, UFOs over Monterey Bay. I'm your host, Bob Oliver. With a quantum leap and open mind, I will take you another step further as chaos shows itself to us as truth. Saturdays at 9 p.m.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Look no further. Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink. Homemade fraps, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Try the new pina colada. Black Forest Espresso is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We have it all. Soups, sandwiches. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center next to Save Mart at Forest and David, Pacific Grove. Or check out blackforestespresso.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. We're talking with Bob Borisage. He's co-director of the campaign, the Institute for America's Future. They're on the web at OUROurFuture.org. We're talking about trying to get a civil tone in the campaign and return.
No, it has to be so civil. It can be really combative about what direction we're going into. It just has to be substantive. Let's talk about the real deal, not the distractions.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be civil, but
now, I'm ready for a real fight. We got huge differences in direction between these two candidates, and it's got to get exposed. Americans have got to learn about it.
All right, ready to rumble, but we want to rumble
exactly
on the things that really matter. Okay, Phil in Ferndale. Listening to KGOE. Welcome, Phil.
Yes, hi. I have a couple of comments to make. Number one, it is my impression that ABC and CBS and NBC and CNN, and actually even the hard news on NPR, is corporate in the sense that the bottom line is not concerned about the public's welfare and getting the truth and maintaining democracy. Their main concern is returning optimal money to the shareholders. that shall not be trespassed. Until there's regulation that requires them to do something different, they will not do anything different.
Mm-hmm. Well, you make an interesting point, and I was referring to the debates earlier. In the primary, most of the debates ran on the cable channels that are not subject to the FCC rules. And that's what permitted them to, only allow Mike Gravel or Dennis Kucinich to answer one or two questions a night, while Hillary and Kerry Hillary, Obama, and Edwards were featured and fed a lot of questions. So that's just one of the areas where we could have some judicious regulation that could change that in a very positive way, Phil.
Well, it's not going to happen in this administration. It probably won't happen if Obama takes it. It certainly won't happen. McCain does. The Supreme Court's already been stacked and it's corporate. We're living in a corporatocracy as we speak. As a matter of fact, when you talk about the media, I would wish you put in front of the word media corporate.
I often
when
do.
When you use the word mainstream media, I wish you'd use corporate stream media.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes the corporate media is really not representing a lot of people's points of view.
Let's get a comment from Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I really agree with this. There's no question about it. It's run by corporations. They're looking for a profit. The purpose of the shows are to organize an audience for their advertisers. So the question then, you're certainly right, we're not going to have any reform in the short term, and it will take a real transformation of our politics to get real reform once again of the media. But the question is, what do we do about that then? And one of the things we can do depends on what the audience wants, we'll help them organize the shows. Let's make it clear to people what we want, that we want a much different kind of debate now, because this country is facing a series of problems that have to be addressed, and create the demand that makes these networks think maybe the best way to make my profit is to, in fact, ask a couple of serious questions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'd need a huge write-in campaign to some of these corporate networks demanding such a thing. You'd need to go to grassroots level to even begin to have a write-in something or other.
There is one other way, Phil.
We need to go after them. We need to be embarrassing them. We need to be, kind of challenging them right in their faces. I think you're absolutely right.
Well,
thing that they do get loud and clear is when you turn it off. Okay,
right,
if you don't watch, if enough of us do that, they'll change the programming because they are very sensitive to the ratings.
Absolutely, but then needless to say, when advertisers call up and they're outraged about something that was more, quote, liberal, right? I don't even like that word. They shut up pretty quickly because, again, it's profits that's uba alles, absolutely. One time a while back, Ralph Nader once alluded to the fact that they get the license to use the public airways for next to nothing. And there's no requirements for that license in terms of public benefit, in terms of, when there's a federal election or a state election, that they're required to give so much time to these candidates that qualify.
Well, and Phil, just to give you one example, the Clinton administration gave away the digital television spectrum to the existing TV licensees. And when that spectrum, actually the old spectrum that we're using now for VHF and UHF TV, when that old spectrum was put up for auction, the value came in at close to $20 billion. That's the value of that giveaway to the corporate networks.
Yeah. And again, another thing that comes to my mind that I remember Operation Iraqi Freedom. And I remember looking at all the corporate networks, and they're all on the same page. There was no real critical analysis of what was going on. And I think that that's the way they'll be all the way down, because the bottom line is they're corporations. They have to answer to the shareholders, and that's their mission.
All right. Phil, thank you very much. Appreciate your comments today. Now to Hal in Coos Bay, listening on KBBR. Hello, Hal.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Well, I really totally echo the sentiment of the last caller. And question whether the approach that you're seeking to do, Bob, what about if you were to spend that much energy in advertising to, my feeling is that Barack truly does see this in a progressive way and really is honestly, he's got everything going for him except the backing of the Democratic Party or the corporate media or the industrial complex or all of the shadowy things that have been distracting us this whole time. Why can't he, even if there's right on mainstream media when they're asking him some dumb question, why can't he just go, how about this? and start really, you know, saying what he really would do to break that corporate dominance that, you know, because if he doesn't, then he's going to be as complicit as Pelosi and Reid and everybody else. I'm not very happy with the Democratic Party in general because they're all getting sucked into the game.
All right, let's get a comment from Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I think, you know, if he did that, I think he would benefit politically from it. If you looked at one of these commentators in the eye who was asking you about Michelle's master's thesis and whether she said she was angry at America as she went to Princeton in an all-white campus, and you looked him in the eye and said, look, that's not what Americans are going to vote on. That's not what this election about. This election's about what's going to happen in our economy that has been working for working period people. And here's what I'm going to do about it. And it's a lot different than anything John McCain suggests he's going to do about it. And you ran that debate right at them. I think the public response to that would be overwhelmingly on his side. And he'd benefit greatly politically.
Hal, thanks for your call. I'm out of time this hour, but I appreciate your comments. Bob Borisage, I appreciate your efforts to get a rumble going that really matters.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you, Peter.
Okay, ourfuture.org is where you can get more information, and the first ad appears in Tuesday's New York Times. Coming up next, it's the Free Speech Zone, an hour set aside for your calls and comments. We'll talk about Hurricane Ike's impact on gas prices and on Texas. We'll talk about Drill Baby Drill and anything else that you want to bring up. Lines are open for you, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, The Peter B. Collins Show.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest-growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. If you have that sinking feeling, you're probably among the millions of Americans who lost money on Wall Street today. The Dow plunged 504 points to close below 11,000 for the first time since mid-July. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christopher says it's the biggest one-day point loss since the terrorist attacks.
The catalyst for the selling was the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy and the feeling that that is not the end, that there are going to be more failures to come. And the fear is, can the financial system, can the banking sector withstand more failures?
AIG Insurance and Washington Mutual Bank are on the critical list. President Bush says this is painful, but the capital markets are flexible and resilient. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson makes it clear there won't be any more bailouts, but government will help in other ways.
Right now, we're working with the tools we have, and what you're finding is that the Fed, the SEC, Treasury, the FDIC, we're all working together, and we're going to do what's necessary to protect this system with the tools we have.
The Fed has an interest rate adjuster in its toolbox and might use it as early as tomorrow. Mark Zandi is chief economist at Moody'sEconomy.com.
Certainly the Fed will recognize and acknowledge the stress in the system and suggest that if things don't improve, that they will be cutting interest rates. But they may very well not cut rates tomorrow. They may want to wait and see how the financial system performs over the next few days, couple weeks.
I'm Dan Revive. Financial failures are now a political hot button.
The McCain-Palin administration will replace the outdated patchwork quilt of regulatory oversight.
Republican John McCain in Orlando speaking of a crisis. Democrat Barack Obama said it's the worst since the Great Depression, and Obama blames an economic philosophy he links with McCain.
The pain has trickled up from the struggles of hardworking Americans on Main Street to the largest firms on Wall Street.
Obama, at two rallies in Colorado, also blasted McCain for saying the fundamentals of the economy are still strong. Dan Revive, CBS News.
In Houston and the surrounding area, people waited in long lines today for food, water, ice, and gasoline. FEMA Director David Paulison says the recovery from Hurricane Ike is underway, but will take time.
Power is coming up. It's coming up rapidly, but there's still a lot of places do not have power. A lot of debris on the road. Several roads are still blocked. Power lines are still down in places. Since some places there's no water and no sewer, no gas stations, no supermarkets open.
Oil refineries are waiting for power so they can resume operations. The storm death toll in Texas and eight other states stands at 37. Governor Rick Perry says it could have been so much worse.
Texans listened to their evacuation orders by and large. Even some of those knuckleheads that didn't and were rescued. Off of the Bolivar Peninsula, for instance.
That resort on Galveston Bay was devastated. The latest to be hit by the remnants of Ike, Ohio and Kentucky, they have widespread power outages. This is CBS News.
At My Midas, they know it all. Why do brakes squeak?
Your brake pads may be worn.
Why do front brake pads wear faster than the rear?
They do 70% of the braking.
Huh. Will my team win the big game?
Sorry, it's not their year.
It never is.
Your local Midas has all the honest answers, like the Midas Secure Stop Brake Service. That's a 55-point brake inspection and lifetime guaranteed pads engineered to provide exceptional stopping power. Find your neighborhood shop at Midas.com.
Trust the Midas touch.
Subject to availability, see MidasSecureStop.com for restrictions and information about the lifetime guarantee.
1 gallon of fuel in a lawnmower will mow about half your backyard. A gallon of fuel in an ice cream truck will disappoint a lot of kids. But a gallon of fuel in a CSX train can move 1 ton of freight 423 miles. Just think what that can do for the environment. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Violent crime, after rising for 2 years, was down a bit in 2007. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis has today's figures from the Justice Department.
The FBI reported 1.4 million violent crimes last year, a slight drop of 0.7% compared to 2006. Reductions were measured across the board, led by a 2.5% drop in forcible rape. The Justice Department says a federal, state, and local crackdown on gangs, guns, and drug dealers in targeted cities is a major reason for the decline. The department is calling on Congress to approve $200 million for this targeted approach.
Conservationists sued when the National Park Service announced plans to allow more than 500 snowmobiles a day into Yellowstone National Park. Today, a federal judge tossed out the plan, saying the Park Service's own data show it would increase air pollution, threaten wildlife, and make a lot of noise. Conservationists want to ban snowmobiles from Yellowstone or sharply reduce their numbers. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy, photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
I'm in the best shape of my life. I run about four,
maybe five push-ups is all I can do.
But for my age, that's
normal is different for everyone. That's why Aetna offers its members wellness solutions for every stage of their health, from fitness programs to information to help manage an illness.
Aetna can help me feel and
stay healthier.
To learn more, go to Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health information programs provide general health information and are not a substitute for diagnosis or treatment by physician or other healthcare professional.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We set it aside for you and your phone calls. We call it the free speech zone. There's no barbed wire fence, no Secret Service agents. Well, maybe an NSA guy's listening. Your comments are welcome right now. 888-5-PETER-B. music of the moment is from U2. It's the title song from the CD called The Unforgettable Fire. And I've got a range of disconnected topics I'd like to throw out to you and just see what connects with you, the active listeners of the Peter B. Collins Show. And one of the reasons I wanted to play Unforgettable Fire is that over the weekend, as I watched people escape from Hurricane Ike, I thought about those who were confronted with the Big Sur fire earlier this summer. And we talked to some of them who refused to leave their homes. And they had what I thought were good reasons for it. They thought that if they didn't protect their own homes from the fire, that firefighters might not get to them. Or that, in some of the decisions that get made, the firefighters might just let a certain number of homes burn as a backfire to prevent it from spreading further. And I thought about you in Big Sur as I watched the news accounts of those who had hunkered down in Galveston and nearby areas and refused the evacuation orders. And I declined to judge those people. There is this implicit message in the media that they're bad because they ignored the evacuation orders and decided to stay behind. Now, I think it's fair to say that some of them are stupid because they risked their lives to protect their property. And Katrina and I were discussing this a little while ago, and she made a good point that as calamities go, that fire is something that is easier to defend against. And while wildfires can get out of control and Santa Ana winds can really whip things up here in California, rising waters and the damage that can come from the combination that a hurricane is, which is very high winds and extreme drops of rain, precipitation, I still have a sense of empathy for those who decided to stay back and try to defend their homes or who were misguided in their sense that they alone would survive a storm of this catastrophic level. So I just want to put that out there and see if any of our friends from Big Sur have a reaction to that and a sense that what they did was right this summer, or maybe they have second thoughts. So, Big Sur, we want to hear from you at 888-5-PETER-B. Also, I welcome your comments on the theme that Bob Borisage offered. He corrected me when I said he was calling for a civil debate. He said, hey, it doesn't have to be civil. But he would like it to be substantive. Will we escape from lipstick on pigs and lies about sex education for kindergartners? And will the machinery that's beyond our control, particularly the corporate media and the tabloid media, will they serve up surprises between now and November that cause these campaigns to maintain distraction over substance? And I don't know what metaphor you prefer. Can you get the genie back in the bottle, the toothpaste back in the tube? Once we have descended to this level, it's hard to recover. And when the Karl Rove types are out there stoking these fires, and the speed with which we now know the Republicans responded to Barack Obama's utterance of lipstick on a pig, shows you how poised they are, and really how free of any ethical considerations they are. It's the Al Davis, Oakland Raiders mentality. Just win, baby. It doesn't matter how. Interesting to see McCain on The View on Friday when Barbara Walters and Joy Behar said, you know, those commercials you're running are lies. Then McCain said, oh, no, they're not lies. This is a tough campaign, and Obama shouldn't have said that lipstick on a pig thing. Well, I think McCain knows that they are lies. And I think, as Patrick Sullivan pointed out, do I have that in front of me here? I don't right now. that, you know, these are intentional misrepresentations from the Bush campaign, and they know the benefits that they are striving for. And the poll numbers that I've told you about from this HCD research that does focus groups, shows people these commercials, and then gets their comments and their reaction, they demonstrate that for Republicans and for some independents, these scurrilous, fact-free commercials are having an impact. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on how we elevate the discussion. And I agree with Borisage that, you know, Sarah Palin's alleged embrace of the Alaska independence movement is not as important as health care, the economy, and our foreign policy, including the problems in Iraq and Afghanistan. But my point that I was trying to make to him a little earlier is that we know that Fox News is going to bring out Bill Ayers. I expect that in his exclusive interview with Governor Palin this week, Sean Hannity will spend a lot of time on that. In fact, I'll put $5 American down here right now if anybody wants to take a bet that there aren't at least two or three questions about Bill Ayers and the weather underground when Sean Hannity gets his exclusive with Sarah Palin. It's a very difficult situation for the Democrats, because the combination of the Republican willingness to lie and the media's lack of willingness to confront the truth makes it slippery, very slippery indeed. Here's an email that came in from Roger L. Smith. We honor your middle initial here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Just a question I think needs to be cleared up. And his question is, just where in Alaska can you see Russia? And has Sarah Palin ever been there? Just because I can see the moon doesn't think, let me read this again. Just because I can see the moon, I don't think I'm ready to be an astronaut. Okay.
Will I never get to Spain? But I kind of like the music. Little ladies are insane there. And they sure know how to use it.
Sarah Palin's never been to Spain. She's been to Mexico, Canada, and Kuwait. And she claims to have visited Ireland because she stopped at an airport there for refueling. And her trip to Kuwait may have included a step over the border into Iraq. But she hasn't been to Baghdad, hasn't been inside or outside the green zone, and yet claims that she made a trip to Iraq. All right, there's one more thing I want to share with you here before we go to your phone calls at 888-5-PETER-B. Somebody sent me an email from country singer Aaron Tippin, T-I-P-P-I-N. And Aaron went on Sean Hannity's show last week to debut this song, which is, let me download the single here, see if we can make this work. It's called Drill Here, Drill Now. I'm not getting any love out of this thing. I previewed it earlier today, and apparently by listening to it once, it now wants me to pay 99 cents for the song. What a drag. Well, the lyrics are like this. Drill here, drill now. How about some oil from our own soil that belongs to us anyhow? No more debating. We're tired of waiting. Everybody shout out loud. Drill here, drill now. Every time a foreign tanker pulls up to our shore, they got us over a barrel while they bleed us a little more. And think how much it costs just to bring it all that way, and how many American jobs it'd make if we're drilling in the USA. Oh, and God forbid if our oily friends should decide to cut us off, we'd be standing around with our britches down. Now listen to me, you all. Drill here, drill now. Op-ed in today's New York Times refutes the point, but doesn't undermine the power of the argument to people who don't think. Our projections are based on government estimates that some 7 billion barrels of oil could be extracted from ANWR, and a whopping 11 billion barrels could be had from the restricted offshore sites all around the American coastline. That's an extra million barrels a day in the year 2025. That's thinking ahead. Now, that sounds like a lot of oil, but in the world market, it represents less than 1% of total world consumption projected for 2025. Thus, we estimate that the million daily barrels would lower the price of crude by just 1.3%, which few consumers would even detect against the background noise of the weekly ups and downs of fuel prices. Got it? You can drill here, you can drill now, you can drill everywhere, and it really won't make a difference. We've got to end the addiction, and Bush said it himself in a recent State of the Union message. Unfortunately, he has been completely wiped out of this campaign, and so that doesn't matter to the Republicans. We'll take a break and return to your phone calls. 888-5-PETER-B. Any subject, any viewpoint, call me from anywhere within the sound of my voice at 888-5-PETER-B. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juk at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
All right, good afternoon. This is Hal Gens with your KRXA traffic. We have a pedestrian on the roadway reported at Highway 1 and Lucia Road in Monterey County. That's down below Big Sur. Be very careful if you're driving that direction. Traffic collision with major injuries reported at Summit Road and Soquel San Jose Road in San Jose County. And we have a traffic collision reported with no injuries in the King City area, Highway 17, just below Clark Road. Finally, the collision at San Andreas Road and Byers Lane in Santa Cruz is still holding up traffic. Enjoy your afternoon. Temperatures low 60s throughout our listening area. We return now to the Peter B. Collins Show, only on KRXA 540.
Thank you.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open for you in the free speech zone. My toll-free number is simple, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-38-573-8372. One more item before we go to your calls. We don't do a lot of obituaries on talk radio. You know, it just doesn't really fit for the most part. But I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the passing over the weekend of Peter Miguel Camejo. Peter ran for governor of California twice, was vice president on a Ralph Nader ticket a few years back. And he also was part of the recall circus. He and Arianna Huffington, I thought, distinguished themselves in the debate or two that occurred when Gray Davis had to exit and Arnold Schwarzenegger ultimately replaced him. And Peter Camejo was a principled progressive. He worked in the investment sector where he ran funds for socially conscious and socially responsible investing. And he brought just a whole lot of energy and intellect to the debates, and he's someone I will sorely miss. Peter Camejo, I believe, was 68 years old when he died on Saturday. To your calls now here in the Free Speech Zone, Nancy in Winters, you're up first. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, you mentioned Karl Rove a bit ago, so I'm calling about dear Karl. He's going to be in Sacramento this Friday, September 19th. The Sacramento Metro Chambers paid him $40,000 to speak at their Perspectives event. It's an annual event.
Huh.
So there's going to be a welcoming committee. The event actually goes from 8:30 to 4, so they're asking people to come out. Well, they aren't, but activists are preparing to go and greet him at the convention center. So I just thought people might like a heads up on that.
Well, I think that you should play on the word contempt, but deliver it in a civil way,
mm-hmm.
because Karl Rove has been singled out for a contempt citation by the Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this unusual situation where the Democratic Speaker seems to be holding back and is not so far scheduling the contempt citation for a full House vote. And yesterday on a local program I subbed on in San Francisco, I had Don Siegelman, the former governor of Alabama, on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very intent that he wants Pelosi to bring this to the floor because we don't expect that any serious accountability will be imposed before the election in November. But it would send a strong message that the Democrats reject the arrogance and unconstitutional behavior that Karl Rove represents. And so I hope that Pelosi will allow that vote to go forward because, like Don Siegelman, I think if we knew the truth about the Siegelman case and Karl Rove's involvement, that it would expose many other nefarious deeds related to U.S. attorneys and the politicization of the Justice Department. And I just got a report in the last 20 minutes sourced to the Washington Post. You remember the hospital visit when they went to see Ashcroft and try to force him to sign the document extending the illegal wiretapping program?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they came back empty-handed. But according to Barton Gellman, who is a pretty good reporter at the Washington Post, Dick Cheney's lawyer and now chief of staff, David Addington, forged Gonzalez's name on that document.
Oh, how shocking.
Now,
you mean they would actually do that?
It has been widely reported that Bush executed the March 11 order with a blank space over the Attorney General's signature line. For reasons both symbolic and practical, the vice president's lawyer couldn't tolerate an empty spot where a mutinous subordinate should have signed. He typed a substitute signature line, Alberto R. Gonzalez. And Gellman writes that only Nixon, in an interview after leaving the White House, claimed authority so nearly unlimited as the authority Addington claimed for the president in the documents he signed with Gonzalez's name. Now, that's just another smoking gun
right.
that will not be pursued because impeachment's off the table.
Right. Well, and what I did, and I would suggest people could do this, I called Mike Thompson, who's my congressperson, and also Pelosi's office, and told them where Roe's going to be Friday so they could just make sure that they bring him in on contempt charges.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious, can we do citizen's arrest, you know?
Give it a try.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff floating around. But anyway.
Nancy, for you, the Peter B. Collins bail bond service is available.
I will.
Okay?
I will put your card in my wallet.
You bet.
Okay.
All right, I'll be there for you.
Thank you.
Okay. More of your calls coming up next. I've got lines available. Don't wait till the end of the hour and have heartbreak. Call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Or email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
House and protect your investments. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
I was at Radio Shack and the manager had three teeth. I was like, heck yeah, dude. I mean, he was the manager. He wasn't pushing a shopping cart. He had a gig. And you don't see that combo often. Steady income, not a lot of choppers. You know, you don't see that combo. This guy was getting checks every week and he was going, you know what? I don't want to get teeth. I want a lava lamp and an Alicia Keys CD. That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm getting. I don't chew that much. It's not that big a deal. And I love the guy for that. That's a guy I can trust. He laughs at your joke, he means it. He's not going to smile if he doesn't have to.
That's comedian Andrew Norelli. I'm Richard Stockton here with a minute from the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour.
PlanetCruise.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Thirty-three minutes after the hour, you're in the free speech zone. And if you're ready to la-la-la, just get on the la-la line, will ya? There are a couple of lines open for you right now. 888-5-PETER-B. I just needed a little dose of Aretha. All right, thanks, Aretha. Now, we got a critical email today, and I wanted to share it with you and ask you for your critical comments. This came from George, who listens to our flagship radio station, KRXA 540 in Monterey. And twice an hour, an announcer comes on with the legal station break, and at the very end of it, he says, "Think for yourself." Now, George writes that every time I hear this, I feel as if KRXA is telling me what to do. In other words, KRXA, while telling me to think for myself, is actually coming on as if it has already done some of my thinking for me. I'll bet I'm not the only audience member who hears it that way and resents it. That's in all caps. Your intentions may be good. That's generous. But I don't care to be told by you what I should do. Well, it's in the imperative voice, and on that you are correct. But I don't believe it is an order. I don't believe that it is a command. I believe it's an exhortation. And the reason is that it was my idea. When we started the station 3 years ago, we were trying to position it in a way that would cause people who don't identify as liberals or progressives to try it out. And so we created bumper stickers with red, white, and blue motif. Because I'm not willing to concede patriotism or love of our country to those who define themselves as political conservatives or even real right-wing neocons. And so, frankly, what's his name again? George. George, I appreciate your comment. I appreciate your reaction to this. And I want to see what other people think. When somebody exhorts you, not commands, but exhorts you to think for yourself, is that insulting? Does it suggest that otherwise we would do your thinking for you? Well, I'd like to hear your remarks. 888-5-PETER-B is my number, and you're welcome to comment on that or anything else that we've discussed today or that's in the news. 888-573-8372. Here's Karen in Sacramento. Hi, Karen.
Hi, I thought I'd throw in my two cents today when you were talking about how we should be nice, whether we should be nice.
Yeah.
And I just happen to have a book in front of me, and it asks, are you afraid of conflict? Do you ever feel powerless in the face of circumstances? Do you feel victimized by other people? Don't Be Nice, Be Real is the name of a book from Kelly Bryson in Santa Cruz County, and I just really encourage the Democrats to read it. And, you know, I was thinking the other night, too, like, where is the people from Hollywood that should be supporting us? Carl Rove should be in Hollywood making movies. Our movie makers should be helping us right now. We should be depicting these people. I'm sorry, but I see them as rednecks. I see somebody who doesn't understand science or want to pursue science or be objective or, you know, raise the level of discourse beyond, you know, calling people poo-poo pants or mm-hmm. lying. And I see that demeanor is something I would refer to as a redneck.
Well, and Karen, one of the conundrums that we face is that it's become cool to be dumb.
Yeah, I know.
All right. I mean, Sarah Palin said, well, I may not have a big fat resume that allowed me to meet world leaders. And she offered this misleading comment that, well, Charlie, I'm sure of other vice presidential candidates before me answered the question in the same way. Well, unfortunately, you got to go back to Calvin Coolidge to find a vice presidential candidate who may not have ever met with a world leader or a chief of state prior to being nominated. And so much of what she says falls apart on close examination, but it resonates with people who don't want to know, with people who are very comfortable in their ignorance. And it creates a very tough challenge for a smart guy like Obama, who thinks that his thoughtful approach to explaining the issues and what change means and how different he is from McCain and Palin will carry the day. And I'm afraid that it won't be enough. Karen? What happened to Karen? The call dropped. Sorry, Karen. I was waiting for your next remark, but that didn't work out. Drew's on the line from Monterey. What line? Is that line 5? Okay. Let's talk to Drew. We haven't heard from him in a while. Hi, Drew. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. Good to talk to you. Just one little snippet that last caller just really frustrates me. People throw around the term redneck really loosely, and I think it's insulting. And, you know, she says that rednecks don't observe science. Well, there's a lot of rednecks out there. Growing the produce and raising the livestock.
All right, but Drew,
that's the reason they have rednecks.
True.
They're white people out there working hard in the sun.
True. Let me stipulate, okay, that that's a term that I wouldn't use, and that she was groping for a way to describe people, and that's in her vernacular, her vocabulary. But are we going to now have to defend rednecks because they've been criticized? I mean, most rednecks say, bring it on. They say, I'm proud to be a redneck. I met a bunch of rednecks for Obama in Denver at the convention, okay? So I don't really want to get into this right-wing PC where all of a sudden, you know, the Republicans are fighting sexism. That's a war they never signed on to before. And now we're going to defend rednecks? Give me a break.
Well, no, Peter, you understand clearly that that's a derogatory way to describe a white person.
It is. It's a characterization.
So how
okay.
is that any different than demeaning somebody of Indian background or Asian background
because
or African-American background?
Because most people who fit that description call themselves that and are proud of it. Not all, but most of them.
Have black people in music calling themselves the N-word, and they're proud of that, too. I don't think it's appropriate to use that term loosely.
All right. But, Drew, come on. There isn't an equivalency between redneck and the N-word. There really
isn't. Well, it depends on what kind of progress you want to make in our country. I mean, if you want to say...
Okay, but Drew, I don't even want to continue this. I want to hear something else from you because you're a bright guy, and this is a pointless exchange. It really is. Rednecks don't need any protection. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, well, another thought then. I won't be long, but I think that the left is desperate to find stuff on Palin when they start talking about her original stance, which was not her final stance on the bridge to nowhere, and then bagging her for her child being pregnant.
Well, let's talk about them one at a time. One at a time. First of all, on the bridge to nowhere, that is a very fair criticism of her because she's telling a half-truth and holding it out to be the whole truth. And you know as well as I do that it's not true when she says she was against it. She was against it after it was dead, and she took the money. She took over $200 million in a federal earmark, and she's spending it on something else up there in Alaska.
That's a very fair point. I would like to find out what she did with that money and what programs they went to, because I guarantee you, with the approval rating she has in Alaska, that money went to beneficial causes for her state.
Well, it probably went to roads. I mean, it was in a transportation fund, and that's what it was used for.
But the thing is, when it's stated as she took that money, yeah, I mean, when you state it like that, it makes it look like, oh, well, she put it into her own pocket.
No,
her state.
She claims to be pure as the driven snow. She took $27 million in earmarked money as mayor of Wasilla, a tiny town, and she's been responsible for receiving hundreds of millions of dollars in earmarks since she became governor. She's only been there 20 months.
Well, I don't hear you criticizing Jack Murtha for receiving all kinds of earmarks.
Drew, I have criticized Jack Murtha on a regular basis.
I should have known that, Peter, because you're a fair-minded guy.
Well, and he gives me the creeps, okay?
Well, I'm shocked to hear you say that, and I'm grateful to hear you
Jack
say that,
Murtha
Peter.
Is up to his elbows in some of the ugliest pork available. He's one of the top five recipients of not only defense contractor money, but defense money that is linked to the phony Star Wars missile defense program. So you will never hear me defend Jack Murtha. And, you know, he's from Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and his name is John Murtha, and he kind of thinks he owns it.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Peter. That's pretty fair, because you don't hear a lot of dissent on the left to the left. So appreciate the conversation.
All right, Drew, good to hear from you. And by the way, are you a redneck? Oh, he's gone. That was unfair. Billy in Capitola is on the line. Hi, Billy.
Is it a free speech zone?
Yes, it is. Go right ahead, you redneck.
Well, I just can't afford any speech that costs any money today.
Oh, why? Are you a Lehman Brothers shareholder?
Not a Lehman Brothers shareholder, but, oh, my God, did I lose a lot of money today.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I haven't followed the market. What happened to the Dow and the S&P?
Dow was down 500 points.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, that's on top of being down, you know, for just months and months.
Sure.
And, you know, it's an amazing moment in time. You know, every now and then you get in trouble. The government doesn't have money, or maybe the banking system, you know, the savings and loan has problems.
Yeah.
But it's all happening at the same time. Literally, the country is bankrupt. The banking system has totally failed and is bankrupt.
And this wasn't supposed to happen till next year, Billy. The timing has fallen apart. And it is, I mean, I don't mean to make light of it, because what we are seeing is the incredible impact of deregulation.
That's right.
And the greed that was permitted to grow exponentially in our markets over the last 8 years. And the lack of any kind of oversight or enforcement of existing laws.
Here's a word for you that they like to use talking about what we do. Redistribution of wealth.
Yeah.
They always act as if we're trying to redistribute wealth that somehow they think is theirs to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And what just happened is the wealth of this nation has been redistributed in the first place. You know, when a board gives a CEO all that money and all that stock and everything, well, how is that not, you know, I mean, perhaps that's the original distribution, but who's to suggest that it's right?
Yeah.
And we have that information here. You can see where certainly tax policy is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we are to bail out the people who make all the money, well, then we should have some of that money to do it when they screw us and get caught every now and then. But if we can't tax them highly enough, then the money isn't there. Oh, and by the way, if we can't tax them high enough, you know, literally, I'm telling you, we should be charging 90% tax on over $20 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you don't, you make it too attractive for me to try to make that kind of money. And to make that kind of money, I have to take the kind of risks that screw you in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Now, Billy, at the end of all this,
I'm thinking for myself.
Is like Bank of America of North Carolina going to own everything? I mean, they bought Countrywide. They just picked up Merrill Lynch over the weekend. They said no to Lehman Brothers.
Imagine how bad Lehman Brothers is that you can't find anyone to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bank of America, it's good. As you pointed out, it's going to be the Bank of America.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I think they'll get it all. I mean, WAMU's going down next. And
that's right. And, yeah, I mean, it's not over yet. Mm-hmm. It's still not over. And meanwhile, of course, what goes along with this is in all this forced selling, so now Lehman has to sell to make money. That means everybody's selling for less, than, and it spirals down.
You bet.
Every piece of thing is worth less.
Well, and they keep telling us that this is going to help us find bottom. And I don't think we're there yet. There's still too many homes in trouble, homeowners
right.
who haven't quite hit the foreclosure ropes yet. But
and to get to bottom, you have to devalue the dollar even further. You have to print money.
Mm-hmm.
So that and then for people like me, for example, are just destroyed. I mean, you know, it's every dollar I have in the last week is now worth 90 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and actually it's not because the dollar ain't worth the dollar either.
Yeah.
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 So
Billy,
hello, suckers. I'm the biggest sucker, but we're all suckers, and we need to know it.
Billy, as the music rolls here, think for yourself. Is that?
Hey, how do we get that? How do we get that? Some of those.
Is that an onerous imperative?
I'll do everyone's thinking for them if they prefer.
He would. Thank you, Billy.
Thanks, buddy.
More of your calls coming up in a second. There's at least one line available if you want to join me at 888-5 Peter B. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon. This is Hal Gins with your final traffic report of the day on KRXA 540. Things have cleared out a bit, but we do have a report of a collision in Santa Cruz at Highway 129 just west of Rogie Lane. Injured people on the roadway. An ambulance is responding to that area, so you have to be very, very careful at the intersection of 129 and Rogie Lane in Santa Cruz. Still have a report of a pedestrian on the roadway in Big Sur below Big Sur in Lucia on Highway 1. And finally, a collision without injury still on the board on Highway 17 just south of Clark Road in King City. Have a great afternoon and stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show right after this on KRXA 540. Weather now, low 60s throughout our listening area with cloudy skies. Should be in the 50s this evening. Have a great
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build community, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Global warming is here.
The effects may seem slight now, but in a few decades,
they could be massive.
Heat waves, floods, and food shortages. What can we do?
We can join together.
Because when many, unite as one.
We can achieve anything.
Together, we're powerful. Find out how we can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
We continue now on the PBC show.
Down at the New Amsterdam. Down at the
7 minutes in front of the hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. George is back with a follow-up on the Think for Yourself slogan of the KRXA station ID. And he said, please note that the definition of imperative doesn't include to exhort, no matter how much you want to justify your brainchild. All right, I'll look that up a little later, George, but I stand by my position, and I appreciate your comment. Maybe you're just tired of hearing it over and over again after 3 years, and that I can understand, but hey, it's our signature slogan. Karen was on the line for me in Sacramento, but she said, Comcast shut off my phone. I can't hear you either because they shut off the radio connection. and I suspect it doesn't have to do with paying the bill. Never quite sure about that. And I am shocked to see that Jenny in Trinidad's been online for on hold for a day and a half. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Sure.
And thanks for not thanking me for taking your call.
It's all right.
What's on your mind today?
It's about oil drilling.
Yeah?
And I don't understand why we need to drill for oil if these new fuels will be achievable. Where maybe the drilling might take place would be in the Gulf of Mexico, and that's exactly where all these hurricanes are happening, and it will get worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Barbara has voted to outlaw drilling off their coast.
Well, that's a California moratorium. The state,
yeah.
The state has a ban in place, and that will not be lifted by this congressional action. And also, it appears to me, you know, we haven't seen the fleshed-out proposal from the Democrats, but it appears that they're going to offer very limited drilling offshore in areas where there are already tracts that have been leased and rigs that are present. I'm not rationalizing it or justifying it, but it doesn't appear that they're going to open up any vast new areas for offshore exploration. That said, as I mentioned earlier, I believe that they have really blown this by kind of negotiating with themselves. You know, these Republicans are slippery and unprincipled when it comes to these kinds of trade-offs. And so for the Democrats to signal way ahead of time that they're willing to cave in on the offshore drilling ban when they haven't gotten anything yet in return just strikes me as really, well, dumb.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I encourage you to contact Nancy Pelosi, let her know your thoughts about this. The other thing that I want to remind people about is the Exxon Valdez. You know, we did a show a couple of months ago with some of the people who were the victims of the Supreme Court rollback of the settlements against Exxon for the huge damage to the mm-hmm. bay up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it appears that people have just, that they want to push that out of their minds. But
mm-hmm.
this is something that we have to confront, whether we're putting out more offshore platforms or we're going to, you know, pump that crude from the Arctic Wildlife Refuge and then pipeline it over to Prudhoe or Valdez Bay, because we know that these kinds of spills will occur again. And it's as if drill, baby, drill is all people want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that it won't solve the problems,
no.
even long term.
No.
And yet that's where the American people appear to be. Over 60% support expansion of offshore drilling. And it's just really sad. Once again, I won't invoke rednecks here, but stupid people are carrying the day, winning the debates. And smart people who pander to stupid people are the ones who have the most power right now. And I find that really obscene. Let's go to Donna in Big Sur. Donna, thanks for your call today.
Well, happy full moon.
Thank you. It's
yes.
a beauty up there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought I'd call it. Of course, the McCain-Palin ticket is driving me crazy, but I'm calling in response to your question about the fire
mm-hmm.
situation in Big Sur. And they named that fire the perfect thing. They called it the Basin Complex Fire.
Right.
And that was actually the situation. It was complex. All right, because you have folks who live somewhat closer to Highway 1. You have people who live up on the hills. And then you have people who live in the interior.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of different situations going on and a fire roaring out of control. So what do people do? Some people, like some of me, my friends, early on when we heard Cal Fire say this is going to be one of the worst fire seasons, We early on got small storage units and moved our most precious things early in June.
Right. Hey, Donna, I have limited time here. I just want to get your thoughts about those who chose not to evacuate from Galveston.
Oh, well, that to me seemed, just like some of the people here that took it to the limit, there are times when you know it's like the old song, you got to know when to go, know when to hold.
Yeah.
Should have gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was people here that definitely should have gone. What can you say? It's a personal choice, and sometimes you have a moment for a good choice or a bad choice. But anyway.
All right, I got to run here. Trigger's here to ride me off into the sunset and under the full moon.
Happy trails, Peter.
All right, Donna, thank you for the call.
Happy trails to you.
I had so much fun, I think I'll do this again tomorrow. Will you join me?
Again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Like Americans all over the country, these people in Spokane had their eyes on Wall Street today.
Most of my money in the stock markets and retirement funds, and I'm watching it go down.
Very concerned.
What's going to happen next? It's a real scary situation. We're in uncharted territory.
Many pros say the same thing. Lehman Brothers' collapse and the sale of Merrill Lynch to Bank of America were like an earthquake that produced aftershocks all day. The Dow closed 504 points lower at 10,918. The Nasdaq lost 81 points. CBS News economics correspondent Anthony Mason was at the New York Stock Exchange.
Veteran trader Art Cashin believes there could be more casualties.
This is the fifth time we've seen this movie. And you sit on the edge of your seat and you yell at whichever character it is, don't go into that woodshed. But they keep going in.
The Federal Reserve meets tomorrow. The expectation before the events of this past weekend was that the Fed would sit tight on interest rates. But now some are actually forecasting another Fed rate cut tomorrow.
John McCain says he still believes the economy is fundamentally strong, but
those fundamentals are threatened. They are threatened and at risk because some on Wall Street have treated Wall Street like a casino.
He promises regulatory reform if he's elected president, but Barack Obama says McCain wouldn't offer any change.
It's the same philosophy we've had for the last 8 years. One that says we should give more and more to those with the most, and hope that prosperity trickles down to everyone else.
He's calling for an overhaul of market regulation. What's the average person to do? Don't dump your stocks. For long-term investors, Russell Perlman, editor of Smart Money magazine, says this too shall pass.
Don't panic. As bad as things look today, they're just going to be a blip on the market radar 10, 20 years from now.
It's been another day in the aftermath of Hurricane Ike, with many more likely to come. CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman reports.
In Houston, victims lined up for food. Many people here will have to do without power for weeks.
If I was prepared for this, yes. Yeah, we all were. Not for months.
In most hard-hit areas, victims were told to stay away.